silent majority is no longer silent. This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Please stand by for further details. We return you now to your regularly scheduled program.
...176 pages of graphic and disturbing grand jury transcripts released today are from Jeffrey Epstein's 2008 criminal case. The files were under seal for 16 years, until now, and they reveal that prosecutors heard graphic testimony about how Epstein sexually abused and exploited underage girls at his Florida home. Now, the Florida judge who released the files wrote in part, quote, "The details in the record will be outrageous to decent people, and the testimony taken by the grand jury concerns activity ranging from grossly unacceptable to rape. All of the conduct at issue is sexually deviant, disgusting, and criminal." That judge says these important documents are being made available to the public to ensure transparency and to give closure to the victims.
We always talked about the Achilles heel of the deep state is child molestation. That's the currency. Child molestation, child abuse, child murder, child trafficking, organ harvesting from children, that this is the currencies they traffic in, not just illicit drugs and weapons or stolen art. Those are all secondary to their main currency, children.
This is a thing, right, in Thailand, where different people will buy a spot in a red room with crypto so they can't be traced. A red room in Thailand is a room where a child is murdered every 3 weeks and they are sacrificed. And the person that pays with the crypto gets to choose how that kid is murdered.
For 100 years, Western intelligence agencies, themselves infiltrated by secret societies out of Britain, used sex operatives to compromise targets who weren't just agents of foreign governments, but who were in outside power structures that this group didn't control, but was seeking to get control. Cecil Rhodes wrote about this in several books on his plan for world government. He had the main British Empire behind him and supporting him. They set up roundtable groups across the world, like the Council on Foreign Relations in 1921 in New York, to take over our governments using payoffs, using sex operatives, and more. They found quickly that if you tried to set somebody up or blackmail them over cheating on their wife, it wouldn't work. But if you could induce them to have sex with an underage person or a child, you had them by the short hairs for the rest of their lives. Jeffrey Epstein was recruited by these systems in New York City more than 30 years ago to begin recruiting little girls as a pimp on an industrial scale. He reportedly had recruited hundreds and hundreds and hundreds a year. That's thousands over the years, to go out and then set up other people and bring them under his control.
Epstein owns a sprawling ranch in the state, complete with airplane hangar and landing strip, where the attorney general says some of the abuse took place.
This is a very large residence in a very isolated part of New Mexico.
There was clearly a cover-up by the FBI at the highest levels because, again, he was going out on a mass scale, on an industrial scale, recruiting sometimes hundreds of young women and girls a month to frame people, to dial them in, to compromise them. And that's just phase one. Then, as people get deeper into the cult, they start getting them into religious rituals. They become more and more dark, more and more satanic. Then the children get younger. And through that process, it's basically trauma-based mind control of the children and the adults, the cult finds out who is truly twisted and dark and who will carry out certain operations no matter how horrible.
I want them silent. I want them muted. I think they are horrible for our society. It's been sold out for a while. It is pure deep earth crystal iodine. It's so hard to make. You've got to have DEA approved labs to do it. And it takes months and months to break it down in this special patented process. Nobody else has true nascent iodine. They put it on the label, but it's still bound to other elements. And it's not fully absorbable by the cells. It's the missing link. Even the UN estimates 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. Up until the 30s, we had major IQ reduction because of lack of iodine in the U.S. food supply, especially in the U.S. Midwest. From the 30s to the early 80s, the government put crappy iodine in the salt by law. And IQs went up 15 points on average. Burnt defects went way down. And then in the early 80s, they took it out again. This is the deep earth crystal, pure, meaning atomic, on the atomic table. And it goes into the cells at a cellular level. Survival Shield X2, now available 25% off. InfoWarsStore.com. 5-star review or call toll-free 888-253-3139.
All right, we've got Kyle Serafin in studio with us for this hour. Very excited. We're going to get into the January 6th pipe bomber, the Democrats deleting evidence, Kamala Harris's whereabouts, the new videos, and the weird response. But I wanted to get Kyle to comment on something first, because you're in fact, you just broke news to me right when you sat down. I want you to break it to the audience in a second. But you were one of the original whistleblowers talking about how the FBI was targeting Catholics in particular. Here's what Speaker Mike Johnson had to say about that, and then we're going to get Kyle's response. Here it is in clip 8.
You were on the Judiciary and the Weaponization Committee. You know, during that time in the Weaponization Committee, we saw the FBI bring case against the Catholic Church, even putting agents inside of local churches. What more can Congress do to prevent this?
Well, Congress has a very important responsibility of oversight, and we have to bring accountability for agencies that have been spun out of control. Really, we use the term weaponized because that's exactly what it is. We have agencies that were designed to protect and serve the American people, and so many cases in recent years and by the administration have been turned against them, and that's just what the facts show. It's alarming. So we called it out, we've drawn attention to it, and we're demanding accountability for those who are in charge.
Okay, so Kyle, you were part of the original team of FBI whistleblowers that brought this to the attention of the American people. Many testified in front of Congress. Now, Speaker Johnson says we're taking action, accountability. Do you think that's really going on, or do you think there needs to be more?
Well, there definitely needs to be more. It's not happening yet. But we are building momentum. You and I were talking just before we get on here. You know, the momentum is building. It has to be. Because they just keep getting hit in the mouth over and over again. The Bureau and the brand of the Bureau is just taking overwhelming incoming. And what do you do with that other than at some point people are going to have to go, you know what? I have agents reach out to me and they say things like, the work that I do is good. And I'm not mad at them for that. And they're doing things like working on transnational organized crime and whatever else. But this agency is irredeemable. And that's a really, really tough thing to hear for someone who's on the back end of the last 10 years of their career. And they're looking at what they've been doing for the last decade and change, and then just go like, how can I be associated with this? I mean, they're going to have to tell their kids that at some point. And some people are going to, at the front end of their career, are going to realize this is not what I signed up for.
Well, and we've had whistleblowers like yourself and others go in front of Congress. I suspect there's going to be, I don't know if more whistleblowers coming forward or it's going to be people leaving the Bureau, but you were actually just telling me that there was kind of a troll that just happened at the Capitol.
Yeah, that's right. So I work with a group that's called Catholic Vote, which is an advocacy group, and they've got a 501c3 and a C4 and some other things. And they picked up right away on the problem of the FBI investigating Catholics. That's what they do. And they're lay people. They're not associated with the church. They're just regular people that go to Latin, masses. And so they said, okay, well, if the FBI's got a problem with Latin mass, and they think they're going to call that, analogous to white supremacy, why don't we get a Latin mass said in the Capitol for the first time in history. And so they did that yesterday on the 1-year anniversary of that memo being sent out into the field in Richmond. So, there is pushback happening and people are getting more bold. I think that the big difference is historically people were scared of the FBI, right? They either had sort of a respect or they were scared and they're looking around and they're going like, this is an agency or institution that's either fearful or they actually just think it's got some vestigial history that we think is good. I think we're moving to the point where people are going, you guys are acting like clowns. We're going to treat you like clowns. We're going to troll you like anybody else. You're not off limits. So gloves are off for some of these people, and I'm proud that they got that done. The masks look lovely, by the way, so that's cool. But also, the fact that what it says is like, we're not going to be kowtowing to you. We're going to actually do the thing that you said we shouldn't do.
Well, and I think maybe there's kind of been a turn in the spirit of being afraid, let's say, of the FBI to being afraid that if we don't push back against the corruption, not just from the FBI, but the entire Biden administration or federal government at large, that's going to be much worse than if we sit back and say, oh, we're afraid. Kyle Serafin in studio. You're not going to want to miss this next segment, folks. Share the links. This is going to be huge.
We are getting crushed in the housing market. We are getting crushed in the automobile market. We are getting crushed in our grocery bills. They're sitting here attacking you, attacking your economy, attacking your culture, attacking your borders. And then they say you're inhumane.
InfoWarsStore.com. We have Kyle Serafin in studio, former FBI agent turned whistleblower and now doing his own podcast and working with a lot of great whistleblowers as well out of the FBI to try to expose some of the corruption going on internally. But I wanted to have him in studio today and get some of his expertise from his time at the FBI in response to what we've seen with the latest January 6th developments. And I've got quite a few here. We've got the situation with the new pipe bomb footage. We've got the situation with now Ray Epps' testimony that has just gone public, as well as this whole Kamala Harris mystery about where she was really at on January 6th.
But she was in a meeting.
Well, she says she was in a meeting, which, of course, makes sense. She's supposed to be voting for the certification of the votes, but she's in a meeting. She's at the DNC. Oh, no, she's at the Capitol. They keep changing their stories. But before we get into the Kamala Harris angle, because that'll spin nicely off the pipe bomb situation. And in fact, guys, I forgot to send you that footage. Let's go ahead and pull up that footage that just got released from the pipe bomb. Okay, so we have new footage thanks to Thomas Massie's office that got released. Revolver News, Darren Beatty released it. I'm sure you've gone through it yourself. And so I just want to kind of get your just base level response to the footage where you have an individual who goes over to, this is Kamala Harris's detail, a Metro Police vehicle
yep.
with three police inside, and then a Secret Service vehicle. I think there were two Secret Service agents inside is what it appeared. Mm-hmm. This is Kamala Harris's detail at the DNC where they originally lied and didn't tell anybody that she was there. And this guy, who apparently is a Capitol Police officer who's not in uniform, identifies the pipe bomb, goes and alerts Harris's detail. And this is probably the craziest part of it, and then I want you to go into your response to this. He goes and he tells the law enforcement Secret Service detail that there's a pipe bomb over there, and then he walks right back in front of it. I mean, what? You think there's a bomb, and then you're going to walk right back in front of it? So, Kyle, watching this as we play it on the screen, what is your response to this as a former FBI agent that obviously knows what crime scenes look like, what responses look like? What is your response here?
The attitude, the lackadaisical sort of response to this is wild. It's truly wild, and it can lead you one of basically two possibilities, right? Possibility one, massive incompetence. You have no idea what to do. You're shell-shocked. I just saw this thing that looks like a bomb. What happens next? That's one possibility. The other possibility is I was already told it's not a real bomb. I'm going to behave very casually. So you're either incompetent or you're sort of informed and you're working, doing something that makes no sense unless you knew more information.
And I think it's fair to say that those are the only two conclusions you can reach at this point. And I would say you might get
I'll never rule out incompetence. I worked for the federal government. And I don't want to – and that would – and people get shell-shocked by all kinds of things. We would call it vapor lock when you're doing training. Something would happen that is outside the boundaries of what you're prepared to respond to. And that's a possibility. And then you go, what the hell do I do?
But I would lean into that a bit, and I would say, I don't think that's Secret Service, though. Maybe police?
More importantly, they had already found another bomb. They had already set up a safe zone. They had already done a crime scene and a cordon of of minimum safe distances to be able to deal with the one that was at the RNC. So this is not like it's an unexpected possibility. It's pipe bomb number two of the day in a day that had exactly two pipe bombs and a city that had exactly two pipe bombs for like the last year that I'm aware of. So it's not like it's a common thing. And then suddenly this is top of mind awareness to you.
So, okay, so it takes them 5 minutes to even set up a perimeter.
They were finishing their sandwiches.
Is that an official statement?
So my buddy who's now working with The Blaze, he'd been an independent journalist at the time. This is Steve Baker. He went through hundreds of hours of footage to get this. And I knew this the night before January 6th. I actually flew up to give a speech up in Long Island. And so he had told me, we're sitting face-to-face. And he goes, look, this is not public yet, but I've spent all this time. Not only did he uncover that it was the plainclothes police officer that was part of the U.S. Capitol Police, but he also said, I've seen the footage, and they're working on sandwiches, and they finished the sandwiches. Now, just imagine.
So that's not a joke.
No, I'm not saying that like as a sly remark. I'm saying the guy supposedly finished sandwiches after being told, hey, man, there's an explosive device within 15 feet of you.
Now, was the Capitol Police officer off duty?
That I don't know.
I think that's one of the questions that remains. Either way, it was a Capitol Police officer, plain clothes, alerts them. They say, I've got to finish my sandwich.
I don't know if he said he had to finish. They just did finish the sandwiches. The sandwiches apparently were the priority. And that doesn't also scream that I'm vapor locked, that I'm what I would call overcome by circumstances. That says, like, I'm casual, taking it easy. And the real scary stuff in that footage is there's a family with a couple of kids that walk right into that danger zone.
Yep.
And so if you have that belief, and I don't care if you're off duty or on duty. Yep. If you carry a badge, you have an instinct to protect. That's why you signed it. Yeah, of course. You're not going to let little kids walk by a possible pipe bomb.
Well, even he walks right in front of it again. Now, here, tell me if I'm crazy, because I don't hear anybody else saying this. They do mention this. When the camera moves over, this is after 5 minutes of nothing. When the camera moves over, there appears to be a fresh coffee cup sitting on the bench. Now, this might be me getting a little crazy. Could that have been like a sign? Like somebody put that there and like tipped over, like, okay, that's the sign. Like now we go into action. I don't know, because how do you sit on the bench and not see it?
We'd have to totally speculate on that. The other possibility is who's sitting there.
Right.
How did you get a sweep of a Secret Service detail coming in with dogs and everything else? How did you miss this pretty obvious thing you can almost see on the camera?
Yeah. I mean, it's not like it's buried. Mm-mm. It's sitting atop part of it on.
Yeah. So when he walks back over, he's taking that iconic picture with his cell phone.
Yeah.
That we've all seen on social media and that's gone out and, you know, that's been the picture that people associate with the pipe bomb. That's where it came from. That was him walking back in front of supposedly a live explosive device.
Didn't seem too concerned.
Generally not advised.
Yeah. Didn't seem too concerned. It's not like he was part of the bomb squad.
It's not suited up.
Yeah, we didn't see any protective gear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, because we're trying to put all the pieces here. And I don't have as much investigative experience as you, but okay, I'm just looking at this from a layperson that has common sense. If you're taking 5 minutes to respond to this, like you said, you're either criminally negligent or you have some form of information to know there's no reason to panic at this point. Well, if that's the case, let's say now let's lean into the latter. If they already knew that that was not a real bomb and it was part of something else, because, look, folks, they make mistakes, too. This is a tough – believe me, let's say this was a total Fed surrection. That's a tough thing to pull off. I mean, this is not an easy operation for them to have all these moving parts and pull it off. I think that, you know, they can make mistakes, too. So they might have moved too soon. The identifier of the pipe bomb might have moved, you know, 30 minutes too soon or whatever, because he wasn't supposed to notify them till 1:40, which was supposed to be the 20-minute mark till the certification, which was supposed to be when the timer said when the bomb was supposed to go off. So that's why they might have been sitting in their cars, you know, finishing their hoagies, is because they were like, hey, we're not supposed to move yet, right? We're not supposed to move yet. And then they're like, well, now he's just called it in. And now we have to move.
It's always like this is the problem. When we don't have a federal government that's being transparent and honest with us, we're completely left to speculation. The other problem is that we have an awful lot of coincidences that don't seem to line up. Like, how come we can't find the cell phone data on this, right? The cell phone data was supposedly they did a geofence. They were able to find every single person that went into the building.
They can find people with an earlobe.
Right. Yes, of course. They can identify people with the earlobe recognition, even though he's wearing a mask or whatever, and all this kind of stuff. And then we can't find the one person in the least crowded time at night, right, doing the single most terroristic act on supposedly the darkest day in our nation's history.
On multiple cameras.
Correct. How can we not track that person? And then we hear from Steve D'Antuono, who is the former assistant director in charge of the Washington field office, who was my boss's boss's boss or something to that effect. He was a couple of levels above. He was the guy in charge of the field office.
Was that the same guy that was in the Whitmer case?
Oh, weird. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, yeah. He originally had the fake Whitmer kidnapping plot, and then he gets moved to this.
Right. So he was in Detroit. He was the special agent in charge there. We had a last minute, low notice retirement of the ADIC in front of him, assistant director in charge at Washington Field. So D'Antuono gets that job. Now he's in charge of what ends up being January 6th. And the strangest thing is,
if you're the master of entrapment, you know, you bring him in for this operation.
Well, I think it's worth being fair to people because we can be as conspiratorial, and I don't think he's a good agent. I don't think he did a good job, and I have some personal beef with him for some stuff he did to some friends of mine. So, like, I'm not real partial to that. But in fairness, the person at the top of the food chain for all the FBI offices, they generally don't know what's going on with all of the cases at all the times. They're not running those cases daily.
Sure, there's like 20,000 agents or more, and I'm sure even more cases.
So there's a couple thousand cases being worked out of that field office. But let's be also really clear. Isn't it interesting that when you have Chris Wray out there, I don't know, I can't recall, I don't remember, I don't have that information, maybe we can get back to you, Congressman. All that is always pretty common. It feels like they do that on purpose, where they're compartmentalized to the point where these people don't actually know anything, or they're saying that and nobody could prove otherwise because they're not cracking FBI files.
And they do know, and I happen to have some intimate information because of my litigation dealing with this. And some of the attorneys I've spoken with, which, I mean, it would have been off the record, but Clay Higgins and some other members of Congress basically made it public, so I can talk about it now. They argued, the federal government argued in some of these cases, that there were so many confidential informants in the ground that to make a request to give them a number would be impossible. That was their response. They said, defense teams would say, hey, well, how many confidential informants did you have? And they would say, well, we don't have the answer. The judge would say, okay, we'll get the answer. They'd come back in court and they'd say, well, the number is so high, we can't give it to you. And so now Clay Higgins and others have come out and they've said they believe it was at least 300 agents, either confidential informants or directly in the federal agencies, were on the ground that day.
Let's take the conspiracy out of it for people because there's really, really obvious reasons why that would be. It doesn't make it good. It just makes it so we can make it more tangible, right? Every single field office has a counterterrorism mission, all right? There's either a GS-15 or there's an SES that's in charge of counterterrorism. That's what they do. And all of them are running cases. There's 56 field offices for the FBI. So they're all running cases in their area. And that could be in Iowa, and there's going to be some in New York. There's going to be some in Miami, et cetera, et cetera. Everywhere you go, the FBI is working counterterrorism cases. They all have a quota, which should probably not surprise people at this point, but that's true. And then based on the number of cases they open in certain types and the way that they're worked and the techniques that they use, whether this be a Title III wiretap or using FISA or using physical surveillance or so on, they're incentivized with a bonus structure that pays out the top person in that field office to the tune of like $30,000 to $50,000 a year.
So there's an incentive. So there's an incentive and a quota margin.
Correct.
It's like the old argument. Well, if I have to give out 50 speeding tickets a month, but nobody's speeding, well then what am I going to do?
Yeah, you're going to find some speeders. That's what's going to happen. So in this case, the FBI is incentivized because of the system that they use, and that's been going on for a little while now, this stats-based system. They call them statistical accomplishments. But because that's been going on for a while, every one of those 56 field offices is incentivized to have people infiltrated into various types of groups that are going to generate certain types of cases. In this case, they're 266 cases, which I'm sure there's one on you. There's definitely one on me. We all have this sort of thing going on. These are intelligence-based cases. They're not criminal, by the way. They're intelligence for counterterrorism because you are an anti-government, anti-authority, violent extremist, or you are a militia violent extremist, or you're a white supremacist, or whatever. They have all these different labels on them. But what they do is they go and they create these cases. They get sources into them because they need sources for that accomplishment. And then when those sources travel to January 6th, we found out just after January 6th, we're following a guy. And we don't know what he did, but they were like, oh, he was involved in something. So we're following him. That's what we did. That was my team. My team was a surveillance team. So here we are outside of this thing. And what happens? He gets into his car. He starts driving home at like 10 o'clock at night from Loudoun County. And we followed him. We followed him all the way through Maryland, first all the way through Virginia, then through Maryland, then into West Virginia. We're like 6 hours deep into this surveillance, right? It's in the middle of the night. The guy's exhausted. We could tell. We actually had him pulled over because he was weaving between lanes. And I thought he was going to kill the kids in the backseat. So life first. And so we get this done. We find out 6 hours away from base, 8 hours away from base in the middle of the night, that they had a tracker on the car the whole time. But the agent that was running the case, which was not in the area that we were in, didn't report that to the command post. It was an absolute disaster area of failure to deconflict cases. So the fact that they don't have a good number means that they would have to go through every single case, every single source, and find out if all those sources who reported maybe not being there because they got scared, they'd have to figure out all that thing. It's possible they can't even get that number. And I'm sure 300 is, like, that's not crazy to me. Figure that's three per office. That's nothing.
That's and I think, too, it just shows you that there was an overwhelming, not just presence of federal agents or confidential informants there, but there was an overwhelming incentive to be there and be involved. Whether that was nefarious, for nefarious reasons or for surveillance reasons or for any other reasons. But I think what we learned too, and this is why the fake plot to kidnap the governor I think is so important. And then there was the Nuremberg 4, I forget what it is. It was another FBI.
The Nuremberg.
The Nuremberg 4, mm-hmm. where they just released the final guy from that.
Yep.
And the judge excoriated the FBI for their entrapment.
The judge said the major conspirator in that case was the federal government.
Well, but that's the big development here where, okay, there's clearly an incentive with these cases for federal agents to provocateur these events. Why wouldn't we suspect that could have happened on January 6th?
So there's not just it's not just that there's a incentive. It's a well-established playbook, okay? And interestingly enough, and this is an opportunity for people in your audience to reach across the aisle. I keep telling people this, one of the things I say on my podcast all the time. Go meet your neighbors. They're not your enemy, it turns out. The enemy is actually the game. It's not the people that are in it. And your neighbors are not your enemies. They can actually get behind this because there's a guy named Trevor Aronson. And he wrote a book called The Terror Factory, which I'll recommend to you and recommend to the audience. It's over 10 years old. And the story is post 9/11, there was a massive push to go after Muslims in this country, some of whom were justifiable, but they ran out of them. When you run out of justifiable cases, you do exactly what's been going on in the last couple of years on people that are in the, let's call it, patriot movement that the government will brand as anti-authority or anti-government types. When you have that motivation, you take exactly the same thing. And what you do is you find people that have low IQ or they have low finances. They're down on their luck. They're in a bad spot. We're just describing Gretchen Whitmer really easily, but it's the same thing for all these others. And then you offer them an opportunity from someone who is a friend. And that friend is either an FBI asset, what we call a confidential human source, or it's an FBI agent. And when that person asks you to do something, then you do it. Why? Because you don't want to let your friend down. And if that means you got to plant a bomb and get some money and that you guys have this great plan worked out and you found some financiers and we're going to get some money from ISIS or Al Qaeda or whoever it is, it just turns out all that money comes from the federal government and all the fake bombs come from the federal government and all the capabilities of doing the plot come from the federal government. And so that's what this judge just said, is that, like, none of this could have happened without the furtherance of the FBI. It's not seen as entrapment because as long as that agent or that CHS gives you an opportunity to say no, they're like, look, are you sure you really want to do this? And you go, yeah, man, I'm in. The minute that happens, they've basically said, well, now we're not entrapping them because we gave an opportunity to say no. But the person was saying no to their friend, an undercover or an asset.
Which could be their only friend. It could be
most
their only
likely
friend
is their only friend.
Yeah.
Most likely is.
And so how much work, though, goes into identifying or using some sort of a dragnet to find those people? Or is it just it works out that those are the individuals that kind of gravitate towards them?
These are targets of opportunity. Right. So there is a net. Of course, there's a net. And the net is usually online. It's basically like go troll through the Reddit forums, go on 4chan or 8chan or whatever it is that people are on saying things that are dumb. And basically, and I've said this multiple times, it's my favorite kind of thing, but it's like anytime that you find somebody who agrees with all your worst ideas, especially your violent ones, and they're willing to help you carry them out for the exact amount of money that you have because they already looked into your bank account and they know what you can afford. You know,
yeah,
that's a Fed. That's what that is. That's a Fed. That's either an informant or it is an agent that is working, and they're going to always introduce you to somebody that's going to be able to help you out. There's always a bomb expert or a weapons guy or somebody else. That's the undercover. The undercover comes in and does this thing, and it's like, if you have no other out.
It's been sold out for a while. It is pure deep earth crystal iodine. It's so hard to make. You've got to have DEA approved labs to do it. And it takes months and months to break it down in this special patented process. Nobody else has true nascent iodine. They put it on the label, but it's still bound to other elements. And it's not fully absorbable by the cells. It's the missing link. Even the UN estimates 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. Up until the 30s, we had major IQ reduction because of lack of iodine in the U.S. food supply, especially in the U.S. Midwest. From the 30s to the early 80s, the government put crappy iodine in the salt by law. and IQs went up 15 points on average. Burnt effects went way down. Then in the early 80s, they took it out again. This is the deep earth crystal, pure, meaning atomic, on the atomic table. And it goes into the cells at a cellular level. Survival Shield X2, now available, 25% off. InfoWarsStore.com. 5-star review. Or call toll-free, 888-253-3139.
In the early 1900s, certain companies were off-gassing highly toxic fluoride gases into the atmosphere. The surrounding communities began to get sick. Laws were enacted to compel these corporations to install scrubbers to convert these gases into fluorosilicic acid, still highly toxic, but containable. Now these companies had a stockpile of this poison, and there was no affordable way to dispose of it. Lucky for them, one of their major stockholders was also the Secretary of the Treasury, who was responsible for the Public Health Service at the time. And by 1950, the U.S. government began buying this toxic, untreated industrial waste product and dumping it into our drinking water. Reputable studies show that it's causing various cancers and other disease. With the Alexa Pure Pro, you can have clean drinking water and a remedy to this madness. Available now at InfoWarsStore.com.
If you don't get a high-quality gravity fed filter from InfoWarsStore.com, please just get one. Now, we sell a unit, stainless steel, that is the highest rated out there. And there's a couple of competitors that are just as good. There's 100 others that aren't as good. It is the best system out there to take thousands of chemicals and compounds down to non-detectable levels. The tap water, the well water, it is a witch's brew. And right now at InfoWarsStore.com, we have a special on the Alexa Pure Gravity Fed Water Filtration System for 10% off. That's huge because there's not much markup in these because we sell them so close to cost. So get your Alexa Pure water filtration systems and so much more at InfoWarsStore.com. But whatever you do, research what's in the tap water and the well water and start protecting yourself. And all gravity-fed filters are not created equal. We've got the best for the best price at InfoWarsStore.com for 10% off.
A lot of listeners have complained in the last 2 years that our amazing high-quality coffee has not been available. And that's because the prices went up too high for the raw beans and the quality had gone down some. I turned down so many companies that wanted to work with us. But now, we have brought back the coffee, and it's even better from a national supplier that's veteran-owned and veteran-operated. It's powered by the company Minuteman Coffee. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the best-tasting, best-smelling, strongest coffee that I have ever drank. It is game-changing. All you got to do is buy a bag of it and try it. I know you're going to be hooked, which will then fund our Operation A360 Win. Go to InfoWarsStore.com right now for Escape the Prison Planet Light Roast. That's the strongest. The amazing Medium Roast Wake Up America. And finally, the best tasting Dark Roast Tip of the Spear, now exclusively available at InfoWarsStore.com. Get your coffee now.
Infowars.com/show.
Because you are living in a basement and you don't have a pot to piss in, literally, like the guys did in the Whitmer case. That's what we're talking about. We're talking
or
about
you people. Already have some sort of a mental issue, or you're trying to be on
that.
Drugs.
Autistic kids. We've seen 16-year-olds that have been literally baited for 2 years until they're the age of majority where they can go, oh, now you're 18. Now we're going to talk you into flying into Jordan to go fight for ISIS or something crazy. And that's what
they did that too.
They did.
That was a recent story that
just aren't made up. These are real world examples.
Yep.
And they happen over and over again. And unfortunately, the terror factory, it's just been applied. So I think my disagreement with Trevor Aronson, I've told him this on the phone. My disagreement is that he thinks it's because of racial animus, that it's about black and brown people. But it's not. It's just about people that generate statistical accomplishment.
Well, like you said, once they ran out of Muslims to target, well, what are you going to do? It reminds me, and this was kind of, people said that this was political commentary at the end of Dark Knight, if you recall, when he's got the big sonar system, and then after he finishes using it to catch the Joker, he destroys it, right? And the whole message was, okay, whatever, use the system to find the bad guys, but then you get rid of the system. You don't keep using it to find innocent people after that.
Right.
But okay, with 3 minutes left till the break here. So what conclusions, if any, or what assumptions, if any, would you leap to after seeing the pipe bomb footage, the response with the background we already have, your background in investigating, where do you go as far as what you think happened?
I'm not sure that I've even gotten that deep into it. I kind of am focused on what do we know and what specifics can we keep piecing together. We never have proof positive. That's the thing. We have evidence of certain things. And there's some evidence that would suggest that this is like a plan me, right? That either people go into the Capitol because they're being incited to or because they're interested in their own volition or they made that plan somewhere else. Some good actors, some people did some dumb things that day. We have to agree on that. Some people probably go to jail for punching cops. That's okay too. I don't feel comfortable saying that the guys that got into fights with cops that picked that fight are totally without blame. However, what's going on in the background where we have a Capitol Police officer who's seen a bomb, allegedly, then acts really, gentle about it and is not freaking out, and then nobody seems to act like it's a real bomb. We've already found another bomb somewhere else. They did the right thing. They set up that perimeter. So we can only be led to believe that this was part of somebody's plan. God knows what the plan was, right? Kamala Harris was in there. Why is Kamala Harris not crowing to the hilltops that I was almost a victim and everybody's racist? Why did that Capitol Police officer not get an award for his bravery and his heroism for taking a picture of that bomb and finding it and spotting it and his eagle eyes saved the life of the future vice president? Why did none of that stuff happen? So we have more questions than we have answers, but they lead us down a particular road and they're shutting off some of the other roads. And it leads down to like, is this a plan B? This is something that Thomas Massie brought up. Was it a potential diversion? Was it meant to sucker in more Capitol Police resources? It doesn't matter what the real answer ends up being other than we're not being told the truth. So it's one more log on the fire that says we have a federal government that's lying to us and they are basically building. And here's what I think really was going on. I think that everybody that's been arrested for January 6th, with very few exceptions, were arrested on criminal complaints. And those criminal complaints are incredibly broad. They say all the things that happened on those days to include found explosives, which sounds really scary if you're reading them. And the judge, who's the magistrate judge who has to sign off on the arrest warrant, they're seeing, oh, well, there were bombs involved. There was a riot. Now everybody knows it. But when they were first signing these things out, they were talking about how there was explosive devices. That ups the ante when you start putting in the weapons of mass destruction kind of thing. There were explosives that were indiscriminate weapons. That moves the needle at the beginning, at least, to start really going after these people more aggressively than would otherwise make sense for, like, let's say, a misdemeanor trespassing charge, which people got.
Well, I want to get more into the timeline because I never really thought of it like a plan B. But now that you say that, I could actually see this because I have a pretty good idea of the timeline of how this all worked out, and including not just the entrapment of the people that were there at the Capitol when the breach happened, when Ray Epps is standing there and others, but, I mean, there could be a theory here that they were trying to entrap us as well, but I'll get that on the other side of the break with Kyle Serafin in studio, FBI whistleblower. Don't go anywhere. Share this broadcast with friends and family, and we'll be right back. All right, so we're having a great conversation off air, but he's putting different thoughts are churning in my mind, too, because, the best plans of mice and men can go awry. I mean, I was explaining, and we'll get into the timetable of this, I was explaining to Kyle how, I mean, even our plans for that day basically kind of got thrown to the wind.
And you don't even work for the government.
I hope I never work for the government. I might be the government's bitch, but that's a different story. So we were basically delayed like an hour in our approach to the Capitol. And if we would have been on time, it felt like we were kind of being set up. It felt like the federal agencies were trying to set us up and lead us to the Capitol when the barricades were getting broken down. But because even we're discombobulated and discoordinated so many times with our security, and then somebody's got to go to the bathroom, and then Alex wants to do this, or I want to do this, but security says we need to do this. We were like an hour or so delayed from even going to the Capitol that day. So, I mean, even we were kind of discombobulated, and thank God for it. Otherwise, we might have been walking up when Ray Epps and the others were right there when the barricades were going down. And so, maybe the federal government kind of has a problem as far as their organization is concerned. But let's get into the timeline here. So 2:00 is when the certification is supposed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Kamala is supposed to be there voting. This is the biggest day of her life, right? You'd think that she'd want to be there. What is she doing at the DNC unless there was some alternative agenda there with the bomb sitting outside, right? So maybe it's a plan B to draw officers away from the Capitol, because I was thinking too, when we were there in November, which I think that one legitimately the November march might have surprised people. I mean, we were stunned at how many people were in DC in November. I mean, hundreds of thousands. I mean, it was an incredible day. But in with the Trump event, everybody knew there was going to be at least 500,000 people there. I mean, that was obvious. It was going to be a huge day.
And what's the big thing? It was pre-planned, right? There was plenty of advance notice. They were permitted events. That's a big difference than a spontaneous protest that happens out of nowhere, which, by the way, happened like every week or two in Washington, D.C. That's standard.
So we were stunned, though, because we were in front of the Supreme Court building, and there was literally no security. Like, there was just a barricade set up, and there were some people kind of grumbling, like, hey, let's take the Supreme Court building. Let's take the Supreme Court building. And I was like, no, don't do that. Don't go over the barricades. Don't go over the barricades. I mean, nobody really talks about that, but since you bring that up, I figured I would. So talk about, okay, is it a plan B? Is it meant to draw assets away from the Capitol in case they couldn't get people to breach?
It could be any of them. So let's rewind it just a little further back. You talk about planned versus unplanned. When you have planned events, that gets into the territory of what we call the NSSE, which I kind of told you a little bit about.
Yeah,
right? And I'm going to give it to you as straight as possible. NSSE, as my recollection, it stands for National Special Security Event. The FBI's Washington field office has a whole squad that deals with this. Like, that's all they do is national events. They plan for it. Now, imagine anybody, if you have the Super Bowl come to your town, that's an NSSE. If you have the State of the Union, which happens every single year, it's an NSSE. Okay, and the way that it works is that by statute and by policy, the Secret Service is the lead agency. Whenever you have like a bunch of things going on, a bunch of law enforcement, a bunch of government agencies, you need someone to take the lead. Secret Service has the lead for all NSEs. All you do is declare this is an NSSE, and then it's game on. Then we roll out a plan, and the plan equals unlimited overtime for the locals. They love it. It's good. So DC Metro PD, everybody can be on staff. You can sit on a bag and have your riot gear, or you can be in the riot, and you still get paid. So that's really good. The local SWAT teams that are going to come in and help, that's the same thing, response and so on. Every single asset gets put into play because this is a national special security event, and that's how we do it. So you've got FBI teams that are going to be in plain clothes. I've done this before. I was there for Trump's inauguration. In plain clothes, walking around, looking for Antifa, and found them, and actually arrested an Antifa guy. So that happens all the time. Then we have what's called I-teams. These are investigative teams. These are two agents that are dressed like this, and they go out and they do the interview after the so-called like undercover or the covert surveillance guys are seeing the bad actors, people that are infringing on First Amendment liberties. We deploy some resources. The Department of Energy is out there sweeping for dirty bombs and stuff. You've got the dive team from the FBI is out on boats. They're looking at all the bridges to make sure nobody does anything terroristy. So all of these things roll out, and you use them, and it's not a big deal. You just go, okay, this is a special security event because this is a big deal, and we want to make sure all the assets are in play. We didn't see the National Guard, right? I know Cash Patel has talked about that quite a bit, and we didn't see an NSSE declared. I've never heard anyone say why.
That's news to me. Now, we do now know that Trump did look for extra security that day. That's on record. It was stood down Capitol Police. It was stood down National Guard. But this is another angle I've never heard.
This is a normal protocol. This happens, like I said, happens multiple times a year. So it's not that 4th of July, big parades. You set up all your resources. If that was the case, and I was on leave on January 6th, I was up in Maryland doing a shooting course. But if I wasn't, because it was an NSSE, I would have been sitting at the Park Police headquarters, what they call the Eagle Nest. I would have been sitting there next to the helicopter with my team, ready to task out on somebody who's bad who needs to be watched. That was my job at the time. We would have had 6 to 8 armed agents that would deploy out, and we'd follow bad guys.
All right, folks, Nitro Boost is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, this supplement is amazing for several reasons. First of all, vitality enhancement. It's a great supplement to add to your routine if you do things like work out, or if you're an athlete, or if you simply want increased vitality throughout the day. The other reason this product is absolutely amazing is because Nitro Boost can help with muscle recovery. Now, we know that muscle recovery is an imperative part of muscle growth, and that this supplement being added to your routine can help you reach your goals in the gym with that recovery. Finally, cardiovascular health is a major factor when it comes to Nitric Boost. We know that heart disease is a major cause of death in the United States of America. Obviously, we've heard tons of reports over the last several years, especially of heart problems, myocarditis, and things like that. We know that Nitric Boost is a way to support your heart health. Check out InfoWarsStore.com today and get your bottle of Nitric Boost now.
We take some brain force, and then we'll do this commercial. How about that? I can think again. This is the liquid tincture version of Brain Force, which means you can really tailor it to exactly what you need. I tend to take maybe a little bit more than is directed, but it's incredibly powerful stuff, and I have an incredibly demanding job. But you make it easy by going to InfoWarsStore.com, and of course, InfoWarsStore.com makes it easy By supplying me with Brain Force Ultra, I rely on this product to do my job on a daily basis because it's absolutely jam-packed with incredible ingredients. Brain Force Ultra is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, and get it now because this stuff sells out fast for very good reason. It's a fantastic supplement. It's the type of supplement that once you start taking it, well, you're going to notice if you stop. Go check out what's in Brain Force Ultra. Do your own research, and what you'll find is that this is a powerhouse formula for incredible mental clarity, focus, and energy. Now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com. Brain Force Ultra is now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com.
It's been sold out for a while. It is pure deep earth crystal iodine. It's so hard to make. You've got to have DEA approved labs to do it. And it takes months and months to break it down in this special patented process. Nobody else has true nascent iodine. They put it on the label, but it's still bound to other elements. And it's not fully absorbable by the cells. It's the missing link. Even the UN estimates 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. Up until the 30s, we had major IQ reduction because of lack of iodine in the U.S. food supply, especially in the U.S. Midwest. From the 30s to the early 80s, the government put crappy iodine in the salt by law. And IQs went up 15 points on average. Burnt effects went way down. Then in the early 80s, they took it out again. This is the deep earth crystal pure, meaning atomic, on the atomic table. And it goes into the cells at a cellular level. Survival Shield X2, now available 25% off. InfoWarsStore.com. 5-star review or call toll-free 888-253-3139.
I talk a lot about the great successes InfoWars has had. I don't think anybody can deny it. And it is because of listeners and viewers supporting us. But when we talk about the crew at InfoWars, people behind the scenes, the researchers, the writers, they really have been the MVPs in this fight. And when we look at Harrison Smith and Owen Schroyer and the hard work they engage in every day, 5, 6, 7 days a week, it's really just incredible. So for myself, the whole InfoWars crew, I thank you for your past support. And I want to encourage you now to realize that InfoWars cannot stay on air if you do not support us. I know you spread the word. I know you pray for us, and that's wonderful. Keep doing it. But most viewers and listeners never go to InfoWarsStore.com, and you never buy great products that enrich and empower your life, all at the same time keep us on air. I know that less than 1% of our listeners actually go buy products at InfoWarsStore.com. If just 1% more of you took action and went to InfoWarsStore.com, our funding problems will be over. Please take action now.
Infowars.com/show.
That was our gig. We didn't get deployed on that. I was able to take leave. Usually it's like a leave is canceled thing. Anybody who's been in the military knows what those, you know, sort of everybody is on call. And that didn't happen. And why that didn't happen is still beyond me. Like I said, I've never heard it answered properly. This should have been something that the Secret Service declared, and they did not.
Well, okay.
It leaves all these open questions. That also tells you why you had so little resources. So the plan B, which we're getting to, you have a plan B option where you've already got low resources because you haven't got everybody on standby. Now you got it. Let's say you got a bomb. Well, what's the priority of people who are protesting outside of a place where there's permitted stuff and a bomb?
You or go to the bombs.
You go to the bombs, right? You got to set up minimum safe distances. You got to set up probably a 300-foot possible blast radius where everybody can be safe. You evacuate all the areas. You got to go door to door and make sure nobody's near a window. You got to bring in a bomb squad. Like, that's a lot of resources. People are stopping traffic in every area. So if you do a plan B that draws a bunch of people away, what does it leave? It leaves your other place, you know, vulnerable. So the concept of a plan B, that if they don't get rowdy here at the Capitol, which is we're speculating 100%. But if you don't get rowdy at the Capitol and we want to give people a reason that they can think that they can do it. You talked about the Supreme Court having open doors. They had one set of barricades and nobody was there.
Nobody. It was stunning. I was standing there like,
and you
wow.
You think you could have got up to the doors?
Oh, easily. People were suggesting we do it, and I remember it. It was a beautiful day in November. Nobody was expecting the event to get that big, and it ended up being huge. And we're standing there at the Supreme Court, I mean, we're basically getting smashed into these barriers. And I think some people were just like, "We need room to breathe. Like, let's just move the barriers so we can expand. We can't breathe here." And Alex was like, "No, get rid of the barriers. We can't go over the barriers." And I remember it like it was yesterday.
I can hear that.
But here's the crazier thing, because the permits, because Alex and some other individuals worked together to get permits to have speaking events that day.
Right.
So we had a permitted event on, I don't remember what side of the Capitol, we'll just say, let's just say northeast side of the Capitol, whatever it was. We had a permit and a stage set up, and part of the conversation leading up to that was, is it going to be worth it? Because these are expensive things. I mean, to get these permits and get these stages set up, it's very expensive. So part of the debate was, well, Is it going to be worth it? Are there going to be people there that day? And it was pretty much determined immediately, like, oh, no, this is going to be a big event. There's going to be hundreds of thousands of people there. It'll be worth it to get this stage set up and have these speakers. So it was like, okay, green light it.
Yep.
So it wasn't like they didn't expect that, especially once Trump announced that he was going to have his speaking event. But you know what? I just had another thing come to mind, and I haven't heard anybody talk about this yet. It just shows that the whole pipe bomb thing was clearly a false flag. Who puts a pipe bomb in visibility under a park bench?
Nobody.
It doesn't even make sense.
Well, look, we got it up on the screen over here where you can kind of see what it is. But like,
well, it's like somebody went into the FBI training headquarters and just pulled it right out of there.
It looks like every training bomb that's ever been put out there.
Have you seen those before?
Not with the FBI. I saw them when I was in the military. Like,
okay.
Like,
so, but you have seen them.
But the idea of having a dummy IED, improvised explosive device, like, they're everywhere. Anytime you do explosives training, it's like, this is the most basic rudimentary level. What do you need? You need a casing that also has some fragmentation capabilities. You need an explosive thing. You need an initiator, whether it's electric or non-electric. So that's a fuse, or it's going to be a, you know, a battery that hits a blasting cap or something to start it. And then you need some way to initiate it either remotely, or you're going to, you know, trigger it by hand.
You'd still have to be in the area to do that. I mean, it's not like it's going to have a large range.
Command wire is one way you can do it. So you actually push a button or whatever, you initiate a charge. Then you can do it remotely with cell phones and stuff like that. The people who are overseas saw this all the time. And then the other possibility is that you have it on a timer. Now, timer is the least precise way of doing it. It's also the easiest thing to set up is like, here's how it could look.
And do those egg timers have 24 hours capability? Okay, I just making sure. I didn't think so.
But the way it was described to us, because the first thing that happened, because my team, my surveillance team was put on this case. And when I say that, I mean, we weren't doing the ground investigative work. We were doing the out in the field, running down the leads and following someone that was a person of interest at the time, of which I've never heard anything about it again. But consider the person of interest. The first thing you want to know, if you are a surveillance agent, you're armed, you're going after a potential bomber, what do you want to know? Were the bombs real? Were they operational? And the answer pointing at the driveway, or if you will, or the entryway to the underground parking garage. So we don't actually have camera footage of that particular little park bench for days beforehand. And my buddy Steve Baker said he went back 5-6 days and nobody had moved the camera. It had been pointed right at where those cars were, where the guys were eating the sandwiches, which you just showed earlier. That had been unmoved for several days. And then suddenly, for the first time, after they start doing this investigation where they slowly get out after the sandwich eating.
Yeah, 5 minutes after it's called. Yeah.
That's when it starts moving for the first time in days.
Now,
who knows?
I have a hard time believing that there is not another camera angle that has that bench in it. We're talking about D.C., the most surveilled area probably in the United States, and outside of the DNC. I mean, that's my opinion. Do you think that there's any other footage out there potentially?
There may be, and I'm not at liberty to discuss whether or not it's coming forward or not, but people should hold on to their hats for the next couple of days.
Fair enough. Well, I've always figured, too, you know, being in the position I'm in as a journalist, people will sometimes tell me what to expect or what's coming, and sometimes I'll tip off my audience a little bit. I did not have that knowledge. That was an assumption, I think a pretty safe one to make.
No.
But what's incredible, okay, so considering that, now we get into some of the facts that the Democrats are trying to hide the evidence. Okay, so the Democrats delete 100 whatever files off of this January 6th committee, 100 files of evidence. I guess it was 117 to be exact. And then the Republicans, after they take over, are able to save it with some data people. And then they find out it's encrypted, but Benny Thompson won't turn over the passwords. Now, as a general observation here, which I think should raise the ire of every American, it's the Democrats, it's the January 6th committee, and it's their friends in the media that have been obsessed with January 6th and the narratives that they're trying to bring to the fore with January 6th. Why are they the ones erasing evidence, and why are they the ones not talking about the pipe bomber? You don't have to respond to that, but talk about this deletion of evidence that the January 6th committee has been caught.
Well, it's really straightforward, right? Didn't Nancy Pelosi kind of let that slip? She said, we got to keep the January 6th narrative alive. She used the word narrative, not the truth. Not we got to find out what happened. They've got a particular sort of brand of story that they've sold. And if you're deleting information, like I struggle with the idea that anybody does that in an honest way.
Well, I mean, if you're working in a courtroom and that happens, your case is blown. You're getting held in contempt, and now you got other charges you're looking at.
Yeah, so you could go from being the investigator to being the investigatee to being investigated for doing that sort of game. You can't go screwing around with information. And this is the thing that's been so troubling, I guess. This is the narrative that should be pushed by honest people, political left or right. I actually don't care about any of that if we get right down to it. Bill Shipley, who's been defending J6ers and doing his thing, and I like Bill, and he's fair, and he said something that I think is the most honest statement about all this. The government should be agnostic about the outcome of court cases. That's not a win for the government. Whether you're convicted or you're acquitted is completely irrelevant to the government agent and the government prosecutors.
Believe me.
We know it's not.
I found out the hard way that justice is the last thing that happens when you're dealing with the Justice Department.
Of course. But, and that, how sad is that, by the way? That's like the saddest thing.
It's a very lonesome feeling on that, being on that side of the courtroom, let me tell you.
But if the government's doing their job properly, if the system works the way that we like to believe that it would, idealistically, though it may be, it's supposed to be agnostic, and your job as an investigator is to uncover the closest thing you can to the truth. You're never going to get to the whole truth, but you want to get as much of it as you can. Whether that is incriminating or exculpatory is irrelevant. You find the information, and then the facts land where they may. And then the prosecutor presents the case to the best of their ability, and the defense does the same to obfuscate or whatever else. And then a jury of your peers, people who are supposed to actually be your peers, are supposed to listen to it. And then they decide you met the burden under the standard pattern jury instructions or not. And based on that, we're going to go forward and give you our verdict. That's how our system is designed to work. It basically comes from people who are in good conscience and of good heart are going to try to play their role as we just described. None of those things are happening right now. You've got a jury where people are actually like fighting to get on. So they can be on the jury, right? We've got prosecutors who are trying to get wins. They're trying to notch W's. That's ridiculous. You've got agents that don't know, don't remember, or are not actually looking at all the information, and they're letting things go in a very half-assed and lazy way.
Well, let me ask you this quickly. Is there an incentive, either directly at the FBI or that you've heard of in any of these bureaucracies, let's say you do the bidding of the party that's in control. Let's say you do the bidding of the Democrats. Is that a way to climb the ladder?
It's nothing so explicit as that. And I've never made any more money by either making or not making a case. You know, like there's just not that. Like nobody cares. If you do a good job, if you do something over and above, maybe you get a bonus or something like that. But generally speaking, no. But everybody who's ever worked in law enforcement knows if you build a big case and the big case gets a lot of notoriety and your boss gets a lot of attaboys for it, then you might have somebody who's willing to help you get to the next level if you want that. The problem is the best case agents in the FBI have no interest in management. None of them. Like, the culture is the opposite of that. They despise management. Like, that's the funniest thing about this is it's almost like the same thing in the military where the enlisted people kind of look at the officers a little bit kind of askance, and they're like, nah, you're officers. You don't work for a living. Case agents look at management and go, I'm a case agent. I want to do investigations. That's why I came here. I don't know what it is you're doing. You don't even need a gun anymore. You're not even doing that job.
Yeah, you forgot the weight of a loaded gun.
Correct. Yeah, well, that's a good joke about it. Like, yeah. Most of them don't carry a gun to begin with, so let's be real. They actually started off not carrying a gun, so they never even knew what it was. But a lot of this management types, they're not interested in the same kind of like investigative culture. And so, yeah, if you want to climb, if you want to make a move, you got to build a big case.
I'm going to be wearing this on air, and I really appreciate all of our great.
It's been sold out for a while. It is pure deep earth crystal iodine. It's so hard to make. You've got to have DEA approved labs to do it, and it takes months and months to break it down in this special patented process. Nobody else has true nascent iodine. They put it on the label, but it's still bound to other elements. And it's not fully absorbable by the cells. It's the missing link. Even the UN estimates 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. Up until the 30s, we had major IQ reduction because of lack of iodine in the U.S. food supply, especially in the U.S. Midwest. From the 30s to the early 80s, the government put crappy iodine in the salt by law. And IQs went up 15 points on average. Burnt effects went way down. Then in the early 80s, they took it out again. This is the deep earth crystal pure, meaning atomic, on the atomic table. And it goes into the cells at a cellular level. Survival Shield X2, now available 25% off. InfoWarsStore.com. 5-star review. Or call toll-free 888-253-3139.
You know, working at InfoWars, you hear a lot of negative things about your place of work. One of the things they like to say about our supplements is we're snake oil salesmen. Well, folks, it ain't snake oil. It's fish oil, and it's incredibly good for you. Ultimate Fish Oil is now on sale, back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. If you only take one supplement, it's likely that's fish oil. It's probably the most popular supplement on Earth at this point for very good reason. People realize how good it is for them, and this is the best stuff on the market. Studies suggest that fish oil and fish oil supplements can slightly lower blood pressure, decrease the growth rate of plaque, and prevent cognitive decline. So whether you're a first-time fish oil shopper or whether you're somebody who has taken fish oil for a while and is looking for the best quality available, go to InfoWarsStore.com today and get Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. It's going to sell out fast because that's what happens when you have fantastic products. Help us fight the global agenda and also improve your health with fish oil. InfoWarsStore.com.
InfoWars.com/show.
We're now learning that Hunter Biden is attending some of the president's meetings at the White House, staying close to his father post-debate.
We have learned from sources familiar with the situation at the White House that Hunter Biden has been by his father's side ever since they were at Camp David this weekend as a family, where they had some discussions about the president's potential path forward here and his reelection campaign, and that since he returned from Camp David last evening with his father, we understand that Hunter Biden has even joined some meetings and conversations that have taken place between the president and some of his most senior advisors and senior staff.
The question, though, would be, is he participating in meetings with senior advisors?
What I can say is that he came back with his dad from Camp David. He walked him into the speech prep, and he was in the room.
So they've been gaslighting that Biden's the smartest, greatest, photographic memory, you know, better golfer than Tiger Woods. I mean, he's just God on earth. Because an oligarchy of special interests are getting away with massive crimes, human trafficking, hundreds of billions stolen with Ukraine, selling our secrets to China. I mean, they are getting filthy rich, and Biden doesn't know what planet he's on. And the Justice Department has already said, because he is not cognizant, that he can't be tried, but he can be the president. They said that almost a year ago. At the CNN headlines, you name it, CIA director under Bush says today the Republican Party is more nihilistic and dangerous than terror groups. Here's another headline, Newsweek. GOP is most dangerous political force in the world, Michael Hayden says. Dangerous to their evil globalist crime syndicate that's hijacked our nation.
So what's on your mind?
Oh, Madam VP Harris, I'm worried about the election. Women's reproductive rights are on the line. Our Supreme Court is on the line. Our basic freedoms are being tested. Madam VP, I know you've been traveling across the country. What are you hearing?
Yeah, girl, I'm out here in these streets. And let me tell you, you're right, Taraji. There is so much at stake in this moment. The majority of us believe in freedom and equality.
But these extremists, as they say, they not like us.
No, they not.
Joe, you now have the right to take that bitch Trump out. Take him out, Joe. If he was Hitler and this was 1940, you'd take him out. Well, he is Hitler and this is 1940. Blow him up or they'll blow us up.
Since they say that a president is immune from prosecution for anything he does officially while he's in office, I think that Joe Biden should officially have Donald Trump killed off, and that would solve this problem of him being too stupid to run our country for four more years because he's brain dead. But he could win the election that way. Take the official stance and just shoot Donald Trump right there on Fifth Street. The Supreme Court said you could.
I'm saying they're pre-programming everywhere, terror attacks blamed on Trump supporters, and creating civil war. And they're saying more and more in the news that their go-to is stopping him with civil unrest once he's president-elect. So I I understand we need to spend 90% of our time getting him elected, but we better start what you just said, vetting the cabinet, getting that stuff ready so there's thinking ahead of us so we don't repeat what happened 8 years ago or 7.5 years ago, and so we head the global assault at the pass with what they're planning, because they're already acting like, from the evidence I see, they've got some low-level oligarchies fighting over who controls the puppet, but the big fish are actually getting ready for a big move against America, war with Russia expanding. I'm not sure, but I'm just saying this is important.
I think you just hit the great danger, which is Trump very clearly emerges in this debate as the peace candidate, basically says that even before being sworn in, he believes he could bring peace in the Russia-Ukraine situation. That is makes him the peace candidate. That is a real, real threat. It's absolutely clear if they insist on Ukraine joining NATO in September, that has the capacity to trigger a world war.
InfoWars. Tomorrow's news today.
If you don't get a high-quality gravity fed filter from InfoWarsStore.com, please just get one. Now, we sell a unit, stainless steel, that is the highest rated out there. And there's a couple of competitors that are just as good. There's 100 others that aren't as good. It is the best system out there to take thousands of chemicals and compounds down to non-detectable levels. The tap water, the well water, it is a witch's brew. And right now at InfoWarsStore.com, we have a special on the Alexa Pure Gravity Fed Water Filtration System for 10% off. That's huge because there's not much markup in these because we sell them so close to cost. So get your Alexa Pure water filtration systems and so much more at InfoWarsStore.com. But whatever you do, research what's in the tap water and the well water and start protecting yourself. And all gravity-fed filters are not created equal. We've got the best for the best price at InfoWarsStore.com for 10% off.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're here in New York City at the Roosevelt Hotel with my wife's boyfriend. We're going to try to get him a free hotel room for the night because the migrants should not get priority over my wife's boyfriend. Let's see what they say. So we're here trying to get him a room.
No, no, he cannot. Yo,
we're trying to get him a room. We're trying to get a room. We need a free room for him. No, wait. We need a room for him. Yeah, no, I know he's... Wait, why not? No, we got to get a room. Hey, dude, he's not going to cook any rats. He's not going to cook any rats like these Venezuelans.
I mean, this is just funny. I mean, first of all, this is just funny. More just A-plus work from Alex Stein on the comedy side of it. But there's a real story behind it. I mean, it's a hilarious video, but there's a lot of real elements to this story. And I want to get into it and talk to Alex about going through that. But before we get into that, hey, are you okay? You did a hospital food review. Did you make it? What, did you get a staph infection from the illegals or something?
Well, you know, Owen, you know, the CIA said that they have a heart attack gun. And then after I got out of the hospital, I noticed I had a little dart. You know, they definitely shot me with that. Let me see if I can find where they shot me with that heart attack gun. See, they shoot you with a piece of ice, Owen. I don't know if you can see that or I'm going the wrong way. They right there. They shoot you. Gosh, you can't even show my fat arm. Okay, Owen, they shoot you with a little piece of ice and then it melts and you have a little bruise and then you die. But luckily, I have a heart, they said, the size of a camel. So my heart is very enlarged, so I live, thank God. No, but on a serious note, yes, I was having heart pain in New York after that Venezuelan thing. I get to Dallas, Owen, I go to the paramedic. I'm having like kind of chest pains. I go to the paramedic. They say, sir, we're going to hook you up to an EKG machine. So I get in the back of the ambulance. We're joking. We're shooting the, you know, shiz. I don't want to cuss on this great program, but we're joking around. All of a sudden, when the paper came out, Owen, their eyes got like dinner plates. They said, sir, you're having a an arrhythmic issue. Your heart's not beating right. This EKG is showing that you're having a heart attack. So they strap me in. They hook an IV. They give me aspirin. They say, we're going straight to the hospital. I get to the hospital. They run an EKG at the hospital. My heart's fine. My heart's totally fine. So they had to keep me there for 24 hours for observation. So did I have a heart attack? I don't know. There's no tryptotone, which is the heart attack enzyme. So I don't know if I had a heart attack or not, but I know I had chest pain. I know an EKG said I had a heart attack. But as of right now, I'm ready to fight the deep state.
Okay, well, that's crazy, brother. I wish you the best. I'll be praying for your health. I'm sure it's a little scary. I'm glad you're able to join us, though, after your hospital visit. So, okay, aside from the obvious comedy gold that is that video, I mean, it's comedy gold, okay? I mean, I tip my cap, total comedy gold. But hold on a second. What's hilarious is look at the security state. When you go into the hotel with your wife's boyfriend there, I mean, they start swarming you guys because he's not an illegal.
Well, Owen, they say that we've gotten deeper than anybody else, and there's protesters outside of the Roosevelt Hotel. This is a famous hotel now that at one point was I think now it's a 4-star hotel. Still somehow it's rated as a 4-star hotel, even though they're like cooking rats out in front of it. But, you know, this is a place that was $500 a night, and now they're making, I believe, $1 million a day just selling it off to, you know, these philanthropical charity companies that pay for them to have a free home there. But what's so sick about this, Owen, is that I wanted the cops to come. I stayed outside and started getting into arguments with all the Venezuelans, and they wouldn't call the cops. So that makes me think that they know that they're doing something very nefarious, because I wanted them. I was hoping for the video. I was like, great, I want the cops to come. You know, I didn't think I was going to get arrested, so I wanted the cops to come. The cops never came. But they had, when I say they had 30 private security guards, Owen, they had 30 guys that had walkie-talkies and some weird, you know, vague security company. So something very nefarious is going on at that hotel. And not only do they get a free room, but they also get a free gift card. And they get – I volunteered at a food bank, Owen. They all had those big boxes of free food that you go to a food bank. So they get free food, free gift card, and a free hotel room in the most expensive city in the world.
Well, and again, what I think is the most telling part of this video is the security state when you enter, very strong security there. You know, no American is allowed to go into the illegal immigrant country of the Roosevelt Hotel, and so they stop you and they get in your face. But the truth is it's your taxpayer dollars that are going towards that hotel going for illegal immigrants. I mean, that's the story here, is that Americans are not allowed. Security will stop you. This is only for illegal immigrants. I mean, it's hard to even put into words how ludicrous that is.
Well, what's even more ludicrous is I think we have 600,000 homeless veterans. Owen, what are we doing for homeless veterans? Where's the free hotel for homeless veterans in every major city? There should be, I mean, if we're going to do something, put a hotel in Dallas, Houston, Austin, where veterans can go stay the night instead of them having to stay on the streets smacked out on drugs or whatnot. This is ridiculous. They're helping out migrants from other countries more than they'll help out Americans. So we always say America first, but it's so obvious. You've been exposing this. It's America last. They don't care about the struggling Americans. They care more about the struggling Venezuelans. And I wouldn't be surprised. They're about to send a bunch of cannibals up here, Owen. They start off cooking rats now. Next thing you know, once they get enough Haitians up here, they're going to be cooking human legs on a spigot in New York City if we don't be careful.
And don't say anything bad about the illegals, or you're the one committing a crime. I do want to get into the cop aspect and angle of this, but you brought up, first of all, so the security there, I mean, obviously the security, they're probably getting paid pretty well at some security company. So not only are you funding the entire hotel to be rented by illegal immigrants, you're funding them to get three meals a day. You're funding whatever means of commute that they're using, airplane, bus, train, whatever. You're funding that. But also they get nice, strong security, too.
Well, Owen, and on top of the security, I need to put out just a whole video of just the whole entire thing. And, you know, it's like about, I think it's about 10 minutes of footage. But not only are they making a lot of money, the security guard, I go, so you're going to, and this didn't make the video, it's like, you're going to work for a Venezuelan but not help out a black man. And the guy looked at me and he said, I make more money than you, sir. That stupid security guard. He didn't know who I was, but I'm in a suit. You would think, you know, normal security guards make 15, 20, maybe 25 bucks an hour, which is, you know, just about average wage. But this guy said he was richer than me and said it with the confidence that I believed him. I was like, man, this guy probably is richer than me because they're probably paying these security guards $1,000 a day to do this. So
Well, you know, because I'm sure you guys have, you know, I'm sure you have to have good security like we have to have good security. I mean, if you get top-level security, you're going to get, like, you know, well-trained veterans and elite Army Rangers and stuff like that. So basically, are they – I mean, imagine that. Imagine these are, like, elite Army veterans or Rangers or special ops that are working these security details for the illegal immigrants. And it's like, well, wait a second. Where's your oath to the country? Because that's what I mean. If you're making that much money as a security guard, I'm assuming you're a veteran of some sort.
Well, did you see what they just took out of the? I think it's the West Point grads. They don't have to say honor your country. That was a big story. I just tweeted. I forget the exact phrase, but they don't care about our country. You know, they don't really care about America first. I mean, I said this already, but it's just so sad that this is all the scheme paid for by us, paid for out of our pockets. And somehow they think this is helping our society, but it's not, because all these people are going to vote. They're going to make it where they don't have to be legal citizens to vote. And they're going to keep on voting in policies that just bring in more legal aliens. So, you know, it's a system that's really broken. I hope Donald Trump can fix it. But, Owen, I don't know if this is fixable, because what I saw was egregious. I mean, this was the most egregious thing. If you're a homeless man in New York City, you get no help. But if you're a Venezuelan with a criminal history, you get a free hotel room and a gift card from Visa.
So you go in there, and this is part of your comedy bit. You bring in your wife's boyfriend, and they had, like, what you said, they had almost 30 guards on you guys?
Literally, because the deeper we got, the more security guards that came out. So you could tell some security guards are kind of normal security guards with a shirt, and then there was guys that were dressed up a little fancier. So I imagine they probably have a security guard for every floor of the hotel. I don't know, but I just know that there's more people working there than I've ever seen. I mean, it was like I was trying to walk into a bank.
Well, and it's definitely not like somebody should follow up here and maybe go in like you did and distract the 30 security guards and then send 10 more people in there to see what really goes on behind the scenes. Nobody should definitely do that because that's the illegal immigrant territory, and so you shouldn't figure out what's going on behind those closed doors. But what about the street activity there?
Well, the street activity is very intimidating, because when you walk by that street, I think it's 45th Avenue, it's all illegal immigrants just hanging outside, smoking cigarettes, and a lot of children. I saw a lot of children, which you would think, oh, is it family? But then you see, like, an old guy with three kids. It doesn't look like their dad. I can't imagine how much child sexual abuse is having in that hotel. And I'm not saying this. I know this is – I try to be a funny angle. I try to use humor so, like, a normie, when they watch this, they're kind of like, oh, look at the hypocrisy. But an unfunny, dead serious thing. I saw lots of kids outside of that hotel that didn't look like they were two parents, didn't look like they were their mom and dad. They looked like they were just some random adult. So God knows what they're doing to those vulnerable children inside that building. That's what it looks like. That's what it looks like all over that area. I mean, that day, I guess maybe they all were in rooms or wasn't – there's only about 25 people outside. But if you walk around that area of Midtown Manhattan, all of the migrantes, and this is what's even crazier about it, Owen, the guy, one of my buddies from New York that I was with, the cameraman, he's lives in New York, and he said, Alex, you can tell all the migrants because they have all the free COVID-19 stuff, all the vaccine incentive stuff, like free backpacks and shirts. They're all walking around New York City, and they all have a backpack that says, I got vaccinated, like, you know, choose the right vaccine. And they all have Moderna and Pfizer-branded clothing. Oh, and it's like I'm living in a dystopia where they're just getting all of our trash and wearing all this vaccine stuff. It's like a double kick in the balls seeing a Venezuelan that gets free stuff. And then the stuff that they made people get myocarditis for, the free gimmick backpack, now they'll just give to a free illegal immigrant. You and I had to get vaccinated to get these shirts and these whatever tchotchkes. Now if you're an illegal immigrant because nobody wants it, you just get free stuff, free clothes, and whatever you want.
So you think they're actually getting vaccinated? You think they just give them the freebies that we didn't get?
No, they're not getting vaccinated. It's all old stuff. Hell, I mean, honestly, I don't want anybody to die of myocarditis, and I probably got a heart attack from viral shedding. But,
yeah, I was going to say, I mean, I didn't know if you wanted to go there, but, I mean, you didn't get the vaccine. As far as I know, I didn't get the vaccine, but, you know, maybe it's a little shedding.
Dude, and it happened right after I left that hotel. And honestly, some people might be vaccinated in there, but this is the Democrats need to just create one rule. You can come into this country illegally as long as you're vaccinated. That's all they got to do. They got to do just show your vaccine card. And then if they just made that one rule, they made you and I try to have a vaccine to get on an airplane. We had to have a vaccine to check into a hotel. We had to give a vaccine to travel internationally. Why don't you make an illegal immigrant have to get a vaccine to travel internationally? That's one requirement. And I think that would slow a lot of stuff down. But they would never do that, Owen.
Well, yeah, because they don't want to slow it down. And before I got the before I got my travel ban from the Biden administration with my political persecution, when I would go down to cover the border, we had whistleblowers from inside these facilities, which have popped up all over America now. There's also a big one in New York at a famous music festival grounds. Now it's just a whole illegal immigrant living quarters. It's a massive facility. But we had whistleblowers inside the one in Brownsville that was like kind of the original massive facility. And they would come out and they'd have to be off record, obviously. And we'd film them, but we'd blur their body and face and change their voice. And they said what they witnessed, because they'd have like, basically they'd have like kind of children's quarters. And it'd be like, you know, a playground and, you know, some sports stuff and kids' toys. And what they continued to see was these kids were engaging in sexual acts with one another. We're talking like 6-7 year old kids. Now, you don't really know at 6 or 7 years old how to, you know, engage in sex acts unless somebody's doing it to you, unless somebody's engaging in these acts to you. And so they would come to us, they say, look, Owen, these kids are probably being molested all the way up here so often that they know, like, they know the actions and the things. And then they get into these kids' areas and they commit these sex acts on each other. We're talking 6-7 years old.
And they have no parents there. And I'm seeing a lot of guys and little kids. Something very weird is going on. I mean, it's obvious that there's a lot of child sexual abuse. And two kids, like, listen, you and I were young men. I was in middle school and stuff. I, you know, like, I would have probably acted the same way if I was a young kid with no parental guidance. Like, I'm not surprised kids are doing drugs or having sex. That's just their carnal instincts. But the fact that it's all being funded by our government, that's what makes it so bad, is that these kids have no chance at a normal life. They get brought up here by the cartel, then they get used for sex, and they come here. They come here basically as an adult. You and I look at them as a 9-year-old, but once you've trekked across the border with an illegal cartel coyote, that probably does make you age pretty quickly, in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely. You've been through some stuff that will mature you in certain aspects. So, okay, now just kind of a final wrap-up of that video. What else did you see on the streets? Obviously, the illegal immigrants everywhere, but were there protesters against it, or did they get shuffled off or threatened to be arrested for protesting this?
Well, that's another thing the guy said. He goes, oh, well, this happens about once a week where somebody comes up here. They said that we were the farthest people to ever get in there. But he says somebody comes there about once a week and complains, you know, because there are a lot of people that are pissed off about this. There's a lot of people that are struggling in New York City that had to commute hours to go work in Manhattan because they can only afford a place in New Jersey or Newark or wherever. And they don't get a free hotel room. And they're working their butts off paying taxes, paying a third of their, you know, salary in taxes. So a lot of people are mad about this, but the right people aren't mad about it. The people in power aren't mad about it. So you and me, Joe Plummer, we can yell to our, you know, as loud as we can, but it's not going to change anything. And what's also scary about this, Owen, the way the immigrants treated me, like, I know I was bad because I had a camera, but they were threatening me. They were taking pictures of me like I was the bad guy. I was getting bullied in the United States by immigrants from a different country. I felt like I was in a different country when I walked in that building. Which is sad, because New York City was the greatest city in the world. Sadly, not even close. It's fallen very hard.
No, it's bad, but that is exactly what it's like. They have a border. They have security. You're not allowed to go into the illegal immigrant country of the Roosevelt Hotel, but they can just do whatever the hell they want and get everything for free. It's I mean, again, it's like you're at a loss for words. It is what it is. It's an illegal immigrant invasion. They're the criminals, but then you're treated like the illegal immigrant. You're treated like the criminal.
100%. You would have thought that's why I wanted the cops to come. I wanted the cops to come 100%, but they didn't want the cops because they don't want to invite the cops to a place where there's all these illegal immigrants.
Well, would the cops even come? I mean, they've been defunded.
That's what, yeah.
I don't even know if there are cops to come. They're all on the subway.
Very sad what's happened in New York City, but we need people like you and me exposing it, Owen, to wake some people up.
Well, that's crazy. That video not only was comedy gold, but it really, I think, exhibited just how insane the policy is there for the illegal immigrants. All right, let's delve into some other issues here. Here's a funny one. What do you know about Don Lemon's short stay as a contributor, a partner of Elon Musk's ex?
Dude, I love that. I love that he got fired on his first day on the job. And he asked to interview Elon. You know, he probably pressed Elon on the stupidest stuff, on the most inconsequential stuff. And then he lost his job. So couldn't have happened to a better person, in my opinion, than Don Lemon, who thinks, you know, 40-year-olds are over the hill.
So Don Lemon gets a partnership with X. He gets one interview with Elon Musk. It's supposed to air Monday, March 18th, so next Monday, and then that's it. So it's a one-show series.
And Owen, I'm always worried about getting fired. Like, I mean, you're probably not worried. You have a lot of job security considering you're like an American hero. But I'm saying every day I'm worried that I'm going to do something wrong to get fired. And now I actually can, like, look in the mirror and say, you know what, Alex? I lasted longer than one day at my job, so I'm better than Don at my job. I'm better than you, Don Lemon. I lasted longer than your BS.
Well, it's Don Lemon, okay? But it's Don Lemon. I wonder if – do you think Musk maybe just trolled him? Do you think this was a troll?
Well, I didn't even think about the 4D chess of that. Like, he hired him just to fire him. That's pretty good marketing. But, no, I'm excited to see the podcast on Monday now. Now I want to see him more than ever. So maybe this is all a work. This is all a professional wrestling work, and they were only going to do one interview. But I don't know. I don't think so. I bet they really did try to hire Don Lemon as some virtue signal, and Don Lemon asked Elon some inappropriate questions and got canned immediately.
The Don Lemon Show, one episode with Elon Musk and canceled. I guess we'll see if there's anything worthy, noteworthy when that drops on Monday, the single episode of the Don Lemon Show. I mean, that's got to be a record. I don't know. How many shows get one and done?
Well, if you and I interviewed Elon, right, and I like some stuff that Elon's done, but a lot of stuff I don't like that Elon's done. Like, I don't really love that he's trying to build do a neural link where you can park your Tesla with your brain. I do like how he's created more of a free speech platform. He's let Alex back. He's let you back on the platform. So I can't say it's all negative. But at the same time, Elon Musk works for basically NASA. So he is kind of a government employee in a way. I mean, I know SpaceX is a little different, but it's just hard for me to trust any billionaire. Even Donald Trump. I love Donald Trump. I'm voting for Donald Trump. But at the end of the day, you know, these guys didn't get to the top by being, you know, nice guys. They're all a little bit ruthless, and that's what it takes to be at the top of your industry, sadly.
Well, and I think we've kind of been pushed into a stark reminder of what politicians really are with Donald Trump. And, you know, when he hit the scene, it was such a refresher, and it was such a change from what we're normally used to with politicians. And that's still good, but I think, you know, it's kind of a reminder. At the end of the day, they're still politicians, and you really – to me, you have to vote with your head and not your heart. And way too many people, I think, put their heart into it, and they expect maybe Trump to be a hero or something. There's plenty of faults with Trump. I can't deny that. But it's just like, if I'm voting pragmatically as a man, as an American citizen, I mean, there's no doubt. Do I want, like, if I'm going to dive deep into the ocean, do I want a full tank of oxygen with Donald Trump, or do I want, like, 1% tank of oxygen with Joe Biden? Like, yeah, I'm going to take the Trump tank.
And listen, Trump got a lot of bad information during his presidency. I didn't like Operation Warp Speed, and now he's still kind of, you know, talking about the vaccine in a positive light. But really, Owen, you know, Donald Trump's probably a little more insulated than you and I. He probably doesn't know a lot of what's going out there. Do you think – this is a question for you. Do you think Donald Trump knows the vaccine causes myocarditis?
Yeah.
He does?
He's definitely gotten the information. I know for a fact people have delivered that information to him. I don't know Trump that well. I'm sure he has a bit of a narcissism, to put it lightly, maybe. And so I've seen narcissists before where you can bring them stuff, but they literally – it won't even penetrate their head. Like, they'll be too stubborn. But I know people have presented that information to him. I think his problem, too, is with messaging. He wants credit for this vaccine, and he wants credit for this new technology, and he gets mad when Biden takes the credit. And I'm sitting here like, let Biden take the credit. Like, you can wipe your hands of this thing.
Well, that's why I kind of want Biden to get rid of TikTok, because I want him to get rid of TikTok so all the TikTokers won't vote for him. But that'd probably be too stupid to even realize it was him that took it away. But, yeah, Donald Trump should really put all of that vaccine success, quote-unquote success, on Joe Biden. I think that would help out American. Well, you know, actually, I take that back, because most Americans are stupid. Even conservatives are stupid. I hate to say this. You know, if you go out and you ask people who Kamala Harris, they wouldn't know. I would just say that most people don't even really know what's going on. And that's the problem, is that we have an uneducated society that is just more worried about their bills, more worried about their family, more worried about their just day-to-day responsibilities than the overall big picture of why our system is failing so bad.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree, but I think that because things are getting so bad, and really because of the gravity of Donald Trump as president and the media freaking out with it, I do think a lot more eyes and ears and minds are kind of paying attention than ever before. Now, does it translate to a true understanding? I guess that's the question. But I think we'll find out a good deal of where the American people really are at in 2024. And it's not just going to be about success for Trump or Republicans. It's going to be kind of the response afterwards as well. Alex Stein, Pimp on a Blimp, what's coming up next?
I got a show tonight. Watch my show on YouTube, Primetime with Alex Stein, and I think they're going to steal the election again. So definitely we should all go out there and vote, but they stole it once. They're going to steal it again. They put you, an American hero, in jail. They can do it to you, too.
All right, that's the Pimp on the Blimp, Primetime with Alex Stein. Always fun. Always fun.
It's been sold out for a while. It is pure deep earth crystal iodine. It's so hard to make. You've got to have DEA approved labs to do it. And it takes months and months to break it down in this special patented process. Nobody else has true nascent iodine. They put it on the label, but it's still bound to other elements. And it's not fully absorbable by the cells. It's the missing link. Even the UN estimates 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. Up until the 30s, we had major IQ reduction because of lack of iodine in the U.S. food supply, especially in the U.S. Midwest. From the 30s to the early 80s, the government put crappy iodine in the salt by law. And IQs went up 15 points on average. Heart defects went way down. And then in the early 80s, they took it out again. This is the deep earth crystal, pure, meaning atomic, on the atomic table. And it goes into the cells at a cellular level. Survival Shield X2, now available 25% off. InfoWarsStore.com. 5-star review. Or call toll-free 888-253-3139.
Omega-3 fatty acids are needed for optimal strength. And they can only be obtained through diet. They can be found in grass-fed beef, which is why the ruling class is trying to ban it. And they can be found in fish, which are arguably the best source of omega-3s. But the problem today is finding fish without a high mercury content. Your best option is our Ultimate Fish Oil and Ultimate Krill Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. Omega-3 fatty acids are essential for both our neurological and cardiovascular systems, our brain and our heart. They improve mood, mental clarity, and immune function. Get your essential omega-3 fatty acids from the best sources available, Ultimate Fish Oil and Ultimate Krill Oil. Get some today at InfoWarsStore.com.
One of the most frustrating things about being awake to the globalist agenda is seeing the general public still asleep. By and large, not aware of the magnitude of the incredible danger they're under, but also the ongoing attacks and the magnitude of the death caused by the lethal injections masquerading as vaccines. It is so frustrating to see people going about their daily lives oblivious. And you realize ignorance is not bliss, it equals death. But people are starting to really understand how serious things are, and that's a hard thing to do, because to wake up to a dystopic reality and realize that we're in the middle of a giant biological weapons war against humanity, and that there's mass sterilization that's already taken place, and they're cutting off all the major energy sources, is really hard to deal with, but it's the reality. Facing it is our only chance to turn this around, because stuff's about to get really, really nasty. InfoWars.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're in a war against the globalist, and people can't identify who's a patriot and who isn't. We want to identify as pro-human and anti-globalist. We want to let people know we're 1776 Part 2. That's why I designed this amazing 1776 red, white, and blue Gadsden flag shirt, so you can support the InfoWar and meet like-minded people everywhere when you wear it. When you wear these shirts, it creates an amazing amount of energy, and it's quite the adventure. So get your 1776 shirt right now at InfoWarsStore.com, and get your Team Humanity InfoWars limited edition shirt right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, this is antithetical, the complete opposite of what the globalists are pushing. So get both the Team Humanity and the 1776 Gadsden Snake Shirts limited edition at InfoWarsStore.com right now. Spread the word, meet like-minded people, and fund the 1776 revolution worldwide.
InfoWars.com/show.
I think these turns around so that the people of America feel guilty. Because nobody wants to be a bad person. We all aim to be good. But there's a distinction between goodness and tolerance. There's a difference between goodness and naiveness. And unfortunately, I believe the majority of Americans are not acting out of the spirit of goodness, but rather out of the spirit of cowardliness and naiveness.
Yeah, more people are realizing just how much illegal immigrants are stealing from them. But I guess it's really the Democrat Party. It's really our politicians. It's really our government stealing from us and giving it to them. They figured it out, though. And some of these numbers are starting to hit the press. We've been covering them here. Uncle Sam is helping illegal immigrants more than our own veterans. New York will spend $12 billion on illegal immigrants in the next 3 years while our troops suffer. It's going to be more than that, by the way. It's going to be probably closer to $20 billion, if not $30. Illegal immigrants given 7 times more taxpayer-funded benefits than military families. Isn't that something? Yeah, the illegal immigrants get anything they need, anything they want. It's just all right there waiting for them. If you're a veteran, though, you got to scrape and claw and beg to try to get some of that. So, but there's no mystery. There's no mystery where this policy is coming from. Is there? No. And so here is, and these videos are everywhere. I could take whole shows and play these clips. In Democrat cities, residents going to the city council and complaining about the illegal immigrant invasion and calling them criminals, just like this young lady does so eloquently in clip 12.
With something Edward Snowden, a whistleblower, once said. He said, when exposing a crime is treated as committing a crime, you are being ruled by criminals.
Yeah.
Everyone in this room recognizes that what's happening surrounding the nonstop influx of illegal aliens is criminal.
Yes.
Everyone recognizes that something evil is among us, and Americans are not ready for the fundamental impact this will have. In fact, we can't even fathom it because we've never seen anything like this.
Right.
Yeah.
We have an administration that is run by criminals who hate America.
Yes. Yes.
That is why they protect these criminals.
Yes.
Yes.
Police have been instructed from above to not mess with them.
Right.
So no matter what these criminal aliens do, they're always released. It's not an accident. This is by design.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we have a garbage media that gets paid for lousy coverage. Yeah. We have a media that protects criminals.
Yes.
It seems as if every level of government has been bought out.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It really makes you wonder how many seats in government have been bought out by foreign influence.
Uh-huh.
And we have a government that uses language to weaponize the masses.
Uh-huh.
They're not illegal aliens. They're asylum seekers.
Right.
They're refugees.
Right.
And they throw these terms around so that the people of America feel guilty. Because nobody wants to be a bad person. We all aim to be good. But there's a distinction between goodness and tolerance. There's a difference between goodness and naiveness. And unfortunately, I believe the majority of Americans are not acting out of the spirit of goodness, but rather out of the spirit of cowardliness and naiveness.
Yes.
And we have the Committee on Immigrant and Refugee Rights, headed by anti-American Alderman Andre Vasquez.
Yeah!
They really throw around those friendly terms, but I like to call them what they are: the pro-criminal committee,
oh,
the anti-American committee.
Yeah.
Not for people, but to destroy America.
Yeah.
These groups are enemies of America. How many illegals are you housing in your home, Vasquez?
Uh oh.
Your own money to fund them.
Yeah.
So I have a message to my fellow Americans who watch this on TV or YouTube.
That's right.
Whose side are you on? Are you on the side of criminals or are you on the side of this country?
Right.
Stop feeling like you're a bad person for calling them illegals. Stop letting our enemies gaslight us into believing we are racist or anti-immigrant.
Yes. Right. Hey, girl.
A good person isn't a coward. A good person stands up for their neighbors.
Yeah.
I'll finish with my favorite Martin Luther King Jr. quote, and I hope my fellow Americans ponder this. He once said, the question is not whether we will be extremists, but what kind of extremists we will be. The nation and the world are in dire need of creative extremists.
Yeah.
Woo! A round of applause for her. We still have 218 days until the presidential election. We have some Maybe we should even be counting down the days till the Democrat National Convention as well. It's August 19th, I believe. So, say 4 months, 4.5 months. So, we still got plenty of time. There's going to be a lot of things that happen between now and then. The political landscape will change quite a bit. But one trend is consistent. One trend is not going anywhere. And that's the growing disposition, specifically in Democrat areas, mostly the densely populated metropolitan Democrat-run cities, the disposition, if not flat-out disgust or hatred for the Democrat Party, this trend is not going anywhere. It's only trending in that direction continually. Now, does this equate to more popularity for the Republicans? You can look at some of these primaries and maybe see that trending in political results there, but it's hard to get a read on some of it in what is a bit of an odd primary season with Trump pretty much your presumed winner and Biden with nobody really running him running against him, and the Democrat Party, at least it's getting any attention. The only one that did, RFK Jr., had to run as an independent because of how they were treating him. But with each passing week and month, and as we get closer to the election, it's going to be quite clear how lacking the Democrat Party is in popularity, specifically in the inner cities. And this is so key because that's how they win elections, ladies and gentlemen. Pull up a map of the electoral results or the voting results by county. Guys, we got like 2 minutes to break. Let's see if the crew can pull this up because there's a purpose here. Without the Democrat vote in the major metropolitan areas and in the densely populated Democrat-run cities, without those votes, the Democrats don't win anything, ladies and gentlemen. They don't win jack. They don't win Senate races, and they would have very little representation in the House, and they would never win a general election for president ever again. That's just raw numbers. So here's a bit of a look. I don't know why they have some of these states whited out here on this map. There's a good representation. So most of the country is red, except where? Densely populated, Democrat-run metropolitan cities. If they lose voters in Chicago, in New York, in Baltimore, in Dallas, in Houston, if they lose these voters in Minneapolis, they're done. They're done. Now, specifically, we are seeing this trend in New York City. We're seeing this trend in Chicago, parts of California, but mostly Chicago and New York. So again, I don't know where or when this leads to a political result, but this is trending that direction, and it's trending that direction fast. But this is where it's going to get interesting, folks. Because if Biden wins again, if he ends up being the nominee, and he beats Trump again in 218 days, no one's going to believe it. And all of these people that are going and speaking in front of the city councils that probably voted Democrat their entire lives, they're going to be showing up and they're going to be saying, I don't know anyone that voted for Biden. How could he possibly have won? It's not going to be a million Trump supporters in D.C. It's going to be 30 million
Americans saying,
what
the hell is going on here? It's been sold out for a while. It is pure deep earth crystal iodine. It's so hard to make. You've got to have DEA approved labs to do it. And it takes months and months to break it down in this special patented process. Nobody else has true nascent iodine. They put it on the label, but it's still bound to other elements. and it's not fully absorbable by the cells. It's the missing link. Even the UN estimates 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. Up until the 30s, we had major IQ reduction because of lack of iodine in the U.S. food supply, especially in the U.S. Midwest. From the 30s to the early 80s, the government put crappy iodine in the salt by law, and IQs went up 15 points on average. Heart defects went way down. Then in the early 80s, they took it out again. This is the Deep Earth Crystal Pure, meaning atomic, on the atomic table. And it goes into the cells at a cellular level. Survival Shield X2, now available, 25% off, InfoWarsStore.com. 5-star review, or call toll-free 888-253-3139.
The eugenicists, over 100 years ago, were very public about their plans. They financed major universities. They ran full-page stories and advertisements pushing their propaganda in the New York Times, other major newspapers, that the family as we know it is a bad thing and must be ended. And the first step in that is getting women out of the household and teaching women that cooking dinner and taking care of your sons and daughters and husbands is a bad thing. And I was just sitting here tonight making dinner for my daughter, my 4.5-year-old daughter. My wife makes dinner a lot of times, but I like to make it as well. I love to make breakfast. And literally, it's the funnest thing on earth to make food for your family and be nutritive and then all sit down together and have that communal event. And that's what the system is attacking and bombarding, is our normal biological actions are coming together. They really are sick, evil, scientific cult of filth that want to domesticate us and turn us into lab rats. We cannot let this continue.
Your cardiovascular system is under attack. Everybody knows it. And I've got in my hands two products that are absolutely insane when it comes to what they do for your body and your overall health. One of them is the highest grade fish oil you can find. Everybody knows how good fish oil is. This is as good as it gets. And when you purchase it at InfoWarsStore.com, you support the broadcast of 360 Win. And then, of course, Nitric Boost. You've heard all the rage about this. A whole bunch of concentrated natural compounds that clean out your blood and clean out your cardiovascular system. Everybody should be taking both of these products at InfoWarsStore.com. And both of them, by the way, are 40% off for a limited time. Now, this sale is going to end in about 2 weeks because we've already sold out of more than half of these products since they came back in. But if you want to get Ultimate Fish Oil and Nitric Boost for 40% off, get them both today at InfoWarsStore.com. I want to thank you all for supporting the broadcast. I want to thank you all for spreading the word, because without you, we are nothing.
If you don't get a high-quality gravity fed filter from InfoWarsStore.com, please just get one. Now, we sell a unit, stainless steel, that is the highest rated out there. And there's a couple of competitors that are just as good. There's 100 others that aren't as good. It is the best system out there to take thousands of chemicals and compounds down to non-detectable levels. The tap water, the well water, it is a witch's brew. And right now at InfoWarsStore.com, we have a special on the Alexa Pure Gravity Fed Water Filtration System for 10% off. That's huge, because there's not much markup in these because we sell them so close to cost. So get your Alexa Pure water filtration systems and so much more at InfoWarsStore.com. But whatever you do, research what's in the tap water and the well water and start protecting yourself. And all gravity-fed filters are not created equal. We've got the best for the best price at InfoWarsStore.com for 10% off.
InfoWars.com/show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Everybody wants to know what's going to be the big event for 2024 to disrupt the election of Donald Trump, to disrupt the 2024 elections, to put America back under the boot heel of the globalists and the deep state. People are talking about cyber attacks and disease X, and now the situation at the border, riots and all this other stuff. My money is on a false flag to get us into a larger war, and it was already my leader in the clubhouse, and now there's even more tense circumstances that make me think that this is the case. Let me go through some of these developments and again, and then give it more of the nuanced context as to why I think false flag imminent. Russia doesn't want another big war Russian Foreign Ministry Sergei Lavrov speaks during a meeting of the United Nations. So Russia continues to go on record saying, we don't want a larger war. We're not looking for a larger conflict. Now, let's also mention that Iran understands the larger geopolitical situation as well, and that's why they've never escalated to a larger global conflict. So Russia's not looking to start a larger global conflict, and neither is Iran, at least to this point. Now, Iran's rhetoric is a lot more extreme than Russia's, but nonetheless, Iran knows the game, knows the players, and so that's why they've never tried to start a larger global conflict. Okay, so you've got, to me, the two top options for the military-industrial complex and the deep state to blame a false flag on are both sitting back saying, not us, essentially. But that's a problem. But let's continue with the headlines and we'll circle back. Biden presses Netanyahu on Gaza war, warns against year of fighting. Biden tells Bibi Netanyahu he's not in it for a year of war in Gaza. So there's a problem. It's not politically popular, really, to support Israel's war with Hamas, which many people, 30% of Americans, view as a outright genocide. So, yes, the two military-industrial complex client states of the U.S. that have both been used by the U.S., kind of a you-scratch-our-back, we'll-scratch-your situation, with Israel in Lebanon, with Israel in Africa over the years, Zimbabwe, other such things, where the U.S. doesn't want to get involved, but then Israel will. And then, of course, the Congress members that have the stocks in all the weapons manufacturers, they don't mind supporting Israel's endeavors because, you know, that's good for their stock portfolios. So there's a lot of that going on. It's the military-industrial complex, but it's not really politically popular right now. And the left has its own anti-Israel problem that's been there for years, or pro-Palestinian problem that's been there for years, but there's a bit of a resistance to it now on the conservative side as well. So the point is, the never-ending support for Ukraine, the never-ending support for Israel is not landing like it once was. But now Israel has its own problems with the UN and the International Court of Justice. Israel-Hamas war updates. International Court of Justice stops short of ordering a ceasefire, tells Israel to prevent acts of genocide in Gaza. And, you know, this is more just like kind of a junkyard dog on a chain that, as long as you know how long the chain is, you can avoid the junkyard dog. So I'm not really sure it's going to prevent Israel from doing anything. ICJ genocide case, world court demands Israel limit deaths. Well, it's already been over 30,000. We've heard numbers up to 32,000, including hundreds of children. The Gaza Strip has been almost completely leveled and demolished to nothing. They're now also moving into other areas of Israel where Palestinians have lived for almost a century and just kicking them out of their homes with the military and giving them to other Jewish families. So this all of this is going on. Now, this is blacked out in the American media. You're not going to see this anywhere. And the IDF makes sure that no journalist can film this. They kill drones from flying in the Gaza Strip because then you would see how the whole thing has just been completely leveled. And they don't want any of that getting out because, well, the International Court of Justice is saying, hey, what's going on over there? And it's not too politically popular what's going on over there in America. Here were some of the rulings. 15-2, the state of Israel shall take all measures to prevent the commission of genocide in Gaza. Do you think they'll listen? 15-2, the state of Israel shall ensure that the military not commit any acts of genocide. 16-1, Israel shall take all measures to punish all public solicitations to genocide. And there's an active investigation into that right now. 16-1, Israel shall take immediate and effective measures to address adverse conditions to life in the Gaza Strip. 15-2, Israel shall take effective measures to prevent evidence of actions impacting the Genocide Convention. 15-2, Israel shall submit
to the court a report, all measures taken to follow the orders of this court within 1 month. Now, again, it's a dog. It's a junkyard dog that barks loudly but is on a leash, and if you can stay out of its radius, I'm not sure how much power that the ICJ actually has here. I'm not sure if Israel is really going to care much. But there's more. Let me put the more nuanced context to it after I read this statement from Glenn Greenwald. The narrative that Israel's wars aren't its wars but are somehow existential battles of the West has been the main tactic for getting the U.S. to finance Israel's military and wars. As a result, defeating Hamas and killing Palestinians is somehow vital to Americans' lives. The central neocon fairy tale after 9/11 was that the U.S. and the West are in a civilizational war, one that pits the civilized people, U.S. and Israel, against the dangerous, primitive Muslim hordes. Many on the right who claim to hate neocons have this as their worldview now. Now, here's the issue, and this was in the news all week. Biden is requesting, and the Democrats are requesting, that at least the public exposure of the Pentagon and the military-industrial complex's support for the war in Israel be tampered down or put under wraps, because the numbers are in and young voters aren't in on it. They're not down for it, whether they're conservative or liberals. It's all over the news. And so the Biden campaign and administration says, we're not doing well with the youth vote because of this war in Israel and supporting it. So we got to do something about that. And you can tell if you study this issue, there is a generational phenomenon happening here. There is certainly a generational phenomenon happening here. Most anti-establishment, we'll say boomer-aged people, want to support Israel at all costs. Most anti-establishment millennials and younger that are on the conservative side do not believe in supporting Israel at all costs. So there is clearly a generational difference there. It's very observable. And the Biden administration knows it. But if you look at some of the main voices for supporting Israel in the conservative media, you look at Ben Shapiro, you look at Mark Levin, who have been going on psychotic genocidal diatribes for the last couple months to encourage the conservative movement to support Israel, and how Hamas is the worst people ever, which, let's be clear, this is not any endorsement of Hamas. They have American hostages right now. That's awful. I wish Biden would do something about it. But the war between Israel and Palestinians and the Gaza Strip and the Arabs and everything else and the Muslims and the Jews, not my war, thousands of years old, not going to stop tomorrow. I don't want to be involved in it. And I certainly don't want it in my streets. And now it is. But see, here's the problem that they have. So now they're losing support. They realize they don't have the support of the youth. They're losing the support of even the conservative side now. The left has been anti-Israel for a while now. So what is the biggest voice on the right that tells you to support Israel doing? That's Ben Shapiro, who's trying to save face. So he goes and does the event with Musk, and they go get Elon Musk to go do that event. And now Ben Shapiro puts out a song with the very popular anti-establishment rapper on YouTube, Tom McDonald, that everybody looks at as very cringe. So here's what I'm saying. The military-industrial complex is losing its support, and everybody sees what's going on. And the two main client states of the U.S. military-industrial complex, Ukraine and Israel, are also losing their popularity. This is why a false flag is imminent in my eyes, folks. They need to do something, and they need to do something fast to try to save this support and keep their wars going. But I don't think the people will fall for it this time.
Watch the American Journal weekday mornings, 8 to 11 Central at band.video.
Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
The silent majority is no longer silent. This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Great successes Infowars has had. I don't think anybody can deny it. And it is because of listeners and viewers supporting us. But when we talk about the crew at Infowars, people behind the scenes, the researchers, the writers, they really have been the MVPs in this fight. And when we look at Harrison Smith and Owen Schroyer and the hard work they engage in every day, five, six, 7 days a week, it's really just incredible. So for myself and the whole InfoWars crew, I thank you for your past support. I only encourage you now to realize that InfoWars cannot stay on air if you do not support us. I know you spread the word. I know you pray for us, and that's wonderful. Keep doing it. But most viewers and listeners never go to InfoWarsStore.com, and you never buy great products that enrich and empower your life while at the same time keep us on air. I know that less than 1% of our listeners actually go buy products at InfoWarsStore.com. If just 1% more of you took action and went to InfoWarsStore.com, our funding problems will be over. Please take action now.
Winter isn't coming. Winter is here. And while the sun isn't helping us produce as much vitamin D, do yourself a favor and try InfoWars Life Winter Sun Plus. Winter Sun Plus is a powerful vitamin D-based formula bringing you straight vitamin D3 free of toxic chemicals, allergens, preservatives, artificial colors, and GMOs. Our vitamin D3 formula supports the body's natural immune system, promotes calcium absorption for healthy bones and teeth, and helps sustain healthy tissue and systems of the body. In addition to the vitamin D, Winter Sun Plus includes vitamin K and E to enhance the formula and provide you with even more whole body support. And all these vitamins are presented in a way that is both delicious and easy to absorb. When the winters come, they come cold. So weather the storm and supplement with Winter Sun Plus at InfoWarsStore.com.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
In Trump versus United States, the Supreme Court ruled that the president and former presidents may not be prosecuted for exercising core constitutional powers and are entitled to a presumptive immunity from prosecution for all official acts. The justices ordered the lower courts to apply this decision to the Donald Trump case being led by Jack Smith. In City of Grants Pass versus Johnson, the enforcement of generally applicable laws regulating camping on public property does not constitute cruel and unusual punishment prohibited by the Eighth Amendment. The Supreme Court has ruled that the law which disallows people from sleeping on public streets can be enforced against the homeless population. In Fisher versus United States, the Supreme Court has ruled that the key charge used to prosecute and sentence hundreds of Americans for walking through the U.S. Capitol building on January 6th, obstruction of an official proceeding, does not apply, which likely means freedom for many American political prisoners. In Loper Bright Enterprises versus Raimondo, the Supreme Court overturned a 40-year-old case called Chevron that granted radical levels of power to federal agencies. Spike Cohen, at Real Spike Cohen, explains this case and its importance. A family fishing company, Loper Bright Enterprises, was being driven out of business because they couldn't afford the $700 per day they were being charged by the NMFS, the National Marine Fisheries Service, to monitor their company. The thing is, federal law doesn't authorize the NMFS to charge businesses for this. They just decided to start doing it in 2013. Why did they think they could get away with just charging people without any legal authorization? Because in 1984, in the Chevron decision, the Supreme Court decided that regulatory agencies were the experts in their field, and the court should just defer to their interpretation of the law. So for the past 40 years, federal agencies have been able to interpret laws to mean whatever they want, and the courts had to just go with it. It was called Chevron deference, and it put bureaucrats in charge of the country. It's how OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, was able to decide that everyone who worked for a large company had to get the jab or be fired. No law gave them that authority. They just made it up. It's how the ATF, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, was able to decide a piece of plastic was a machine gun. It's how the USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service, the NRCS, is able to decide that a small puddle is a protected wetland. It's how out-of-control agencies have been able to create rules out of thin air and force you to comply, and the courts had to simply defer to them because they were the experts. Imagine if your local police could just arrest you for any reason, and no judge or jury was allowed to determine if you'd actually committed a crime or not. Just off to jail you go. That's what Chevron deference was. It was not only blatantly unconstitutional, it caused immeasurable harm to everyone. Thankfully, it's now gone. We haven't even begun to feel the effects of this decision in the courts. It will be used for years to come to roll back federal agencies, and we'll all be better off for it. And that's why politicians and corporate media are freaking out about it. Spike Cohen. In an era of bad news, the U.S. Supreme Court has brought us some good tools that we the people can wield to work on restoring America. Happy Independence Day. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
It's been sold out for a while. It is pure deep earth crystal iodine. It's so hard to make. You've got to have DEA approved labs to do it. And it takes months and months to break it down in this special patented process. Nobody else has true nascent iodine. They put it on the label, but it's still bound to other elements. And it's not fully absorbable by the cells. It's the missing link. Even the UN estimates 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. Up until the 30s, we had major IQ reduction because of lack of iodine in the U.S. food supply, especially in the U.S. Midwest. From the 30s to the early 80s, the government put crappy iodine in the salt by law. And IQs went up 15 points on average. Heart defects went way down. Then in the early 80s, they took it out again. This is the deep earth crystal pure, meaning atomic, on the atomic table. And it goes into the cells at a cellular level. Survival Shield X2, now available 25% off InfoWarsStore.com. 5-star review or call toll-free 888-253-3139.
We are getting crushed in the housing market. We are getting crushed in the automobile market. We are getting crushed in our grocery bills. They're sitting here attacking you, attacking your economy, attacking your culture, attacking your borders. And then they say you're inhumane.
To bring my guest on here, but this just broke. The Biden campaign has just released a new campaign ad of Joe Biden using the Trump bloodbath statement against him and then relating that to January 6th and Trump's statements then and the activities of that day. So, again, this is all this bloodbath. This is all caused by liberal media lies and Democrat Party lies. That's the bloodbath. Their lies. Their lies caused the bloodbath. And now they're tripling down. They're tripling down on the bloodbath hoax. But what do you expect? They can't help themselves. Democrats are committed to lying, and they're committing to inverting the truth and deceiving you. They're committed to it. So this is just, you know, more people will just realize what absolute liars the liberal media are and the Democrats are. I mean, but that's just wow. And then relating it to Charlottesville and everybody else. I mean, my goodness. What do you expect? What do you expect from known liars like Joe Biden? So there you go. I thought that we'd put it to rest, and then they went and did that. There it is. All right. Joining us now is Arden Young, and she's been on with us before. She went undercover exposing a lot of, let's just say, nastiness inside of Pornhub, aside from just the content they put out, but what goes on behind the scenes. And the reason I wanted to bring her on is because we just got some interesting news that I wanted to get her take on, and that is the website Pornhub has removed itself from Texas because of age restriction laws. And so immediately you start scratching your head and say, well, why would Pornhub be concerned with age restriction laws unless they knew that was the majority of their consumers, of course, which they might be aware of. But that's why Arden Young joins us now. You've been undercover inside. You've heard what they've said as well with their own words. But I want to get your take. Why is Pornhub shutting their site down for access in Texas?
They've done this in quite a few states now. I think it's kind of their own little way of boycotting these age verification laws popping up. And really the reason why they're so upset about these age verification laws is according to their own reporting, when they decide to comply with these age verification laws like they did in Louisiana, the traffic to their website drops by 80%. So it loses them a lot of business. And I don't know why that age verification is such a deterrent for their users. I happen to think it's kind of a combination between underage kids trying to access the site and also adults trying to access the site that just don't want to go through the trouble of putting in their identification information.
So what has the result been? I mean, because if you say that the age verification, I don't know, I forget the number. I think they said, well, you said 80%. Well, it's 100% yes. Now. So there has to be some sort of, they're looking for something here. And I'm guessing they're looking for age verification to be lifted. I mean, is that the goal, do you think?
Yes, they don't like age verification when the user has to put in a government-issued ID. The method that they claim to favor is having each electronic device, when the user receives it, have somehow the user's age attached to it. So they favor a device-based verification system. But my take on it is, what does that look like? What does a device connected age verification system look like? I think they know that it's almost impossible to accomplish. I think they know that nothing like that's really going to happen on a wide scale in the near future. And I think that's probably why they're claiming to favor that type of age verification.
I want to get further into that discussion, but first let's go to this clip. This was from your undercover reporting where you got somebody to talk about the verification, the ID verification. And so let's go to that clip real quick in 21.
What if America banned you right now? What would you do?
I'd have to go and pick it right up.
Really?
Yeah, of course. The cavalry would arrive at the office. We'd have to go and ask to the office. Go talk all night, lock the doors, and send them like that. That's for sure.
That would never happen, though, would it?
Yeah, it could.
Really?
Well, Texas is about the baddest.
Also,
that's a lot. That's like 10 million people.
I got some questions there. When he says 10 million, what exactly is he saying?
He's saying that Pornhub's user base, 10 million unique visitors a day, are based in Texas.
So that's just straight user number. That has nothing to do with an estimation of potential underage users?
Yeah, that's just a blanket user number. I think Pornhub boasts 100 million unique viewers per day. And that's a lot of users, and 10 million of those are from Texas.
Well, when you sat down with this guy, I mean, to his credit, he was very open and willing to discuss this stuff. He seemed to even have a problem with some of it, if I recall your original reporting.
Yeah.
But remind me, how often did the issue of underage consumers come up?
Underage as consumers, it came up with other subjects a little bit more often. I spoke with a production coordinator as well as a writer for the pornography that goes on to Pornhub parent company owned sites. And they admitted that there's really no age verification process. Even when you're made to check the little box that says I'm over 18, it's really not a deterrent. That a lot of kids access their content, and they even express encouragement for kids to watch pornographic content as an educational tool.
Well, we are starting to hear that come from the liberal sexual philosophy, if you will. It might not be like, hey, directly go to this, you know, website, but they're slowly, I think, kind of grooming that into practice. And so maybe that's why they have a problem with that as well. But I don't get, to me, I don't think that it's necessarily anything political coming from them. For them, it's just bottom line, right? For them, it's just a money issue.
Yeah, absolutely. All the admissions that, all the employees I spoke with undercover, they all seem to think everything went back to money. Pornhub's concerned with its bottom line. The company is so hesitant to enact these age verification procedures as well as content moderation procedures for the actual content that goes up on their site just because it hurts their bottom line. They don't want to invest the money to do it, and they don't want to spend more money on making less money, as one of the employees I spoke with explained.
What do you know about the application of this age verification in Texas? Because obviously Pornhub is not the only website that exists for this content. In fact, MindGeek, the parent company of Pornhub, probably owns most of the other websites. Is this on every website, or is there a reason why it's just going after Pornhub, or what do you know about that?
Yeah, so this law applies to all adult websites. Pornhub has actually, their parent company, formerly called MindGeek, now called Alo, owns hundreds and hundreds of different pornography websites. All are currently blocked in the state of Texas. So they have sites like Brazzers, Reality King, sites that you pay for the content on those sites, and those are all blocked as well. As far as pornography companies that Pornhub doesn't own, I don't know. I haven't personally checked yet, but it is something that would be good to check, because there are other companies out there, even though Pornhub's parent company has a near monopoly over North American pornography.
So is this a ALO, I guess, is the name of the parent company now. So they are going to boycott those states. What are they expecting? Adult content users are going to step up and march for this? I don't think that's going to happen.
I know. I'm kind of confused about their response as well. I don't really know what they're hoping for. I know that they have a team of attorneys that is trying to engage in litigation with some of these states. I know that initially last year, the age verification law passed in Texas, Pornhub sued the state of Texas, and a federal judge actually put an injunction on the law. And then the attorney general appealed it, and the law was finally able to be enforced, which is what we're seeing now.
You know, kind of to get onto a different track of this issue, if you will, have you heard anything about this type of content being banned on X, formerly Twitter? Because this stuff is starting to get far more common on X. I think it should be completely banned from X, quite frankly. I don't think it should be anywhere on X. And yet it seems to be persistently there. I don't know about any age verification process on X.
Right. I agree. I think the age verification process for getting on X is essentially just putting in your birthday with no type of verification beyond that. I do think that a social media platform like X should just not allow pornography. I don't think that social media is the place for that. And I think most users of X would probably agree. Like, they just don't want to see that in their timeline when they're trying to read updates about news or whatever. I know that they did recently ban advertising pornography on X, but pornographic content is still allowed on the platform. And I believe that the age on X is like it allows 13 and up. So that's really concerning that pornography is allowed on the platform. I'm definitely in favor of banning porn on X.
Well, and I'm sure you've had this realization, because I remember when you first came on with me and we shared the segment, it was, I think the title of it was something like Undercover, you know, Journalist Exposes Pornhub Agenda or something. And immediately after that, something kicks in with the bots and the algorithm, and immediately you start to see all this adult content hitting your replies, hitting your contents. I mean, the botted activity there is extreme. So now it's like, if you want to, so it's like, if I put this on X, I'm going to have to put an asterisk on one of the letters so it doesn't hit those bot algorithms, because it's everywhere now. I mean, I'm sure, unfortunately, you have to see this too.
Yeah, absolutely. I unfortunately see it a lot, and it's sad because I'm trying to expose issues surrounding pornography. I have no interest in viewing or dealing with actual pornography, and it's really unfortunate and ironic that a lot of my content on X talking about Pornhub and porn and adult entertainment in general is so heavily censored, when I see so much of this pornographic content that doesn't seem to be censored by the algorithm whatsoever. And I just think that's so ironic and disturbing.
Let's start to get into some of the ins and outs of this practical application of trying to keep minors from consuming pornography, because I think on the surface it's obviously a good cause, but I also believe there's cause for concern, because we talked earlier, you mentioned the device-based age verification. Now, if I'm just thinking about this, who's going to be less likely to go to this website because of they have to show a government ID? Is it going to be a minor who gets a fake ID to look at this, or is it going to be an adult that just doesn't want to be on record looking at this? So I think that ultimately, you know, there's going to find a way to be accessed. So now if you're really trying to bear down on stopping this, you do eventually have to get to a device-based age verification process, which kind of just scares me, quite frankly. I don't want that to happen on the internet. And I could easily see, because this is like, oh yeah, who could argue against minors consuming adult content on the internet? But I could easily see that's where this would go at the top levels of government and legislative levels, where now you have this content, this age device-based age verification. Do you see the dangers that could come with that as well?
Absolutely, I do. Technology is getting pretty disturbing in so many different ways. I'm definitely not in favor of having to show an ID to access the internet in general, or access a website like X or a social media website. If we're able to keep age verification for sites dedicated to adult content, then I am completely in favor of that. Outside of that, I don't see it as a good thing.
So that would be kind of a reasonable approach to make sure it doesn't get too out of control. You know, because you just, I don't know. I hear the arguments about banning adult content or pornography outright, and it's not really an argument I would get involved in, because you're never going to stop it. And, you know, maybe a First Amendment issue comes into play here as well, but you're never going to stop it no matter what. But there are ways to mitigate it. There are ways to stop minors from accessing it as well. I mean, but it's like, even if you tried to make it illegal, how do you even do that? I mean, I don't think it would be possible. This stuff is so common now that you couldn't even make it illegal if you tried.
Right. I think we have to think realistically in that, being able to easily access adult content online is just kind of our reality. I think age verification laws will help and will be a strong deterrent, but I do agree that parents need to very, very carefully protect their children, educate their children on what adult content is and how to avoid it. It's kind of like, you know, when you see it type of thing. And yeah, that's just the reality we're living in. It's really tough. I think we need to educate people on the societal and mental health aspects of pornography use, and kind of let people, adults, do what they want to do, even if we disagree with it personally.
So I wonder where you think this is going. I don't see the attorney generals from any of these states backing down. I don't see them backing down, and yet the porn industry, or specifically ALO, the parent company, has decided they're going to go into this, I mean, really this disgusting argument that, hey, this age verification requirement is killing our traffic. I mean, okay, I mean, go for it. That's an amazing approach to take, but that's the one they're taking. But I don't see the attorney general's backing down. So where do you think this goes? Who do you think backs down first, or what's the end result?
I really don't know. I'm going to be watching very closely, though. I can't imagine why getting involved in all of this litigation is beneficial for ALO. I think they're trying to win public opinion, perhaps, but I really don't see the Pornhub user base, like you said, coming together to march for their rights or anything like that. So I don't know where this is going, but I will be watching very closely. We've seen they've now blocked access in Texas, Arkansas. I have a list here. Mississippi, Montana, North Carolina, Virginia, and Utah. So this is not just limited to Texas. We're seeing more and more of these laws pass across the U.S. and many countries in Europe speaking about adopting similar laws. So we're going to see where this goes. But it's safe to say that I think ALO is going to be losing a lot of traffic.
So the age verification laws hit. You have to verify your age to consume this content. And ALO pulls their websites for being accessible in these states in response. That's what we have right now.
That's correct. And the only state that they've actually decided to comply, I believe, is Louisiana. Louisiana was the first to pass these age verification laws. And that is a state that ALO reported losing 80% of their daily usership after complying with those laws. So in the state of Louisiana, there's this third-party service where a user will put in their government-issued ID information on their ID, and then they'll verify that, and then it'll redirect the user back to the site.
You know, and I'm just thinking, because the last time we discussed this, you talked about, I mean, they've lost litigation. They've lost, was it billions? I mean, at least hundreds of millions. I forget what the number was, but they've taken major legal hits. But I am curious, though.
Major.
Because I'm thinking, how do they make this money? Well, somebody's putting their credit card information on there. So obviously there's some form of identification when you put your credit card information. I mean, it has a name and address and everything. So I am curious. I mean, I feel like the age verification might actually have something else behind it. Because if the consumers of this are willing to put personal information out already in form of a credit card, why would the government ID necessarily be different?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, we have to bear in mind that most of their revenue actually comes from their ad sales. So even a free site like Pornhub, when you log on as a user, companies are paying Pornhub for your viewership. So you don't even have to be putting your bank account information or your credit card information into the site for them to be making money. That is how they make most of their revenue. And unfortunately, that's where we see a lot of these advertisers paying the site, that pornographic ads going on the site aren't properly vetted for underage or abusive content.
Now, has ALO come out and announced their new endeavor to launch a VPN yet? I imagine that's going to be coming soon.
So actually, they already have one, and it's called VPN Hub. And what's really disturbing about it is that when it was available in the App Store, I haven't checked to see if it's still available, it was rated for 4 years old and up, which is just weird. And you wouldn't think, like, why would you rate a VPN owned by Pornhub? Like, the logo looks the same for 4 years old and up.
You know, to me, this looks like another avenue for, let's say, Attorney General Ken Paxton, because, I mean, this is – I don't know if it's right to say this is like obstruction of justice, but clearly there is a problem here when they launch a product that helps them avoid laws.
Exactly. Yeah, I think it's safe to say that VPN sales will probably be seeing a bit of a spike. But yeah, we'll have to see where that goes. I don't know if VPN Hub is currently active. We're just going to have to wait and see. It is a fact, though, that Alo owns so many more companies than they actually disclose publicly. So it's possible they own a completely different VPN that they just aren't disclosing publicly.
All right, I'm sure you'll be continuing to follow up with your reporting on this issue. Where can people follow your news coverage?
I'm on Twitter. If you look me up, I'm Arden_Young_. And you can also go to the Sound Investigations website, soundinvestigations.com, for updates.
And that's where you did your undercover work. Oh, by the way, is there any new clips coming from your undercover work? You just produced one more. Is there any new coming out?
Yeah, we might have a couple new ones, releasing some content that didn't really fit anywhere in our longer stories. So maybe some new content, and also I may be releasing more in the coming months because I'm still investigating in the field.
All right, Arden, thank you so much for your time. It's dirty work to cover this stuff, but somebody's got to do it. So thank you for that.
It's been sold out for a while. It is pure deep earth crystal iodine. It's so hard to make. You've got to have DEA approved labs to do it. And it takes months and months to break it down in this special patented process. Nobody else has true nascent iodine. They put it on the label, but it's still bound to other elements. And it's not fully absorbable by the cells. It's the missing link. Even the UN estimates 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. Up until the 30s, we had major IQ reduction because of lack of iodine in the U.S. food supply, especially in the U.S. Midwest. From the 30s to the early 80s, the government put crappy iodine in the salt by law. And IQs went up 15 points on average. Burnt defects went way down. And then in the early 80s, they took it out again. This is the deep earth crystal, pure, meaning atomic, on the atomic table. And it goes into the cells at a cellular level. Survival Shield X2, now available 25% off. InfoWarsStore.com. 5-star review. Or call toll-free 888-253-3139.
Let me take some brain force, and then we'll do this commercial. How about that? I can think again. This is the liquid tincture version of Brain Force, which means you can really tailor it to exactly what you need. I tend to take maybe a little bit more than is directed, but it's incredibly powerful stuff, and I have an incredibly demanding job. But you make it easy by going to InfoWarsStore.com, and of course InfoWarsStore.com makes it easy by supplying me with Brain Force Ultra. I rely on this product to do my job on a daily basis because it's absolutely jam-packed with incredible ingredients. Brain Force Ultra is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, and get it now because this stuff sells out fast for very good reason. It's a fantastic supplement. It's the type of supplement that once you start taking it, well, you're going to notice if you stop. Go check out what's in Brain Force Ultra. Do your own research, and what you'll find is that this is a powerhouse formula for incredible mental clarity, focus, and energy. Now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com. Brain Force Ultra is now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com.
If you don't get a high-quality gravity fed filter from InfoWarsStore.com, please just get one. Now, we sell a unit, stainless steel, that is the highest rated out there. And there's a couple of competitors that are just as good. There's 100 others that aren't as good. It is the best system out there to take thousands of chemicals and compounds down to non-detectable levels. The tap water, the well water, it is a witch's brew. And right now at InfoWarsStore.com, we have a special on the Alexa Pure Gravity Fed Water Filtration System for 10% off. That's huge because there's not much markup in these because we sell them so close to cost. So get your Alexa Pure water filtration systems and so much more at InfoWarsStore.com. But whatever you do, research what's in the tap water and the well water and start protecting yourself. And all gravity-fed filters are not created equal. We've got the best for the best price at InfoWarsStore.com for 10% off.
All right, folks, Nitric Boost is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, this supplement is amazing for several reasons. First of all, Vitality Enhancement. It's a great supplement to add to your routine if you do things like work out or if you're an athlete or if you simply want increased vitality throughout the day. The other reason this product is absolutely amazing is because Nitric Boost can help with muscle recovery. Now, we know that muscle recovery is an imperative part of muscle growth and that this supplement being added to your routine can help you reach your goals in the gym with that recovery. Finally, cardiovascular health is a major factor when it comes to Nitric Boost. We know that heart disease is a major cause of death in the United States of America. Obviously, we've heard tons of reports over the last several years, especially of heart problems, myocarditis, and things like that. We know that Nitric Boost is a way to support your heart health. Check out InfoWarsStore.com today and get your bottle of Nitric Boost now.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
We're not going to renominate the president for a second term. Mm-hmm. That just hasn't happened.
Like, they know that he has those issues.
I think so.
But they're not willing to say it.
Shows, and
they're not willing to say it publicly.
And same thing with Kamala Harris. She's not popular, but you can't remove the first black lady to be vice president from the goddamn presidential ticket. Like, what kind of message are you going to send to, like, African-American voters?
So that's the reason why they won't remove her.
So you work in cybersecurity for the White House, and my question is, what are you doing on a meeting with James O'Keefe? And how do you think it looks to the American people?
There is a man who is whatever America needs him to be. Not the hero we deserve, but the hero we need. Nothing less than a knight. Shining. They'll hunt him. They'll set the dogs on him. Because the truth is the greatest threat they face. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
The statement that he released last night, or earlier today, rather, I knew something big was coming, because James O'Keefe is somebody that really has a light heart and truly does love life and loves what he does. He doesn't live his life in fear. You know, he's talked about not being suicidal, obviously, before, for obvious reasons. But he's not somebody that goes around and plays victim. He's not somebody that goes around and talks about what he really deals with behind the scenes. And I've always respected him for that. It's part of what it takes to be successful fighting the deep state and the globalists and all the other rot gut corruption that comes with it. So I'm going to read this statement from James O'Keefe. And this was from last night. And then he released the video just about 30 minutes ago, and we're going to play this full 10-minute report, just over 10 minutes. And once I read this statement from James O'Keefe, you'll understand why he would put this out after the video he just released about half an hour ago. Just hot off the press. And so here was his statement last night, building up. People familiar with the story coming out tomorrow keep texting me, asking me about fear. I've taken the time to write a careful response. At 39, I've lived a good life. Whether it's complete or not is not up to me. What happens next, I don't know. If there's more to come, so be it. I've learned the pursuit of truth requires extreme risk while operating without a safety net. I've experienced so much. I've lived 10 lives compressed into a fraction of one. And so he goes on talking about what it's like to fight corruption and the risks and the ups and the downs. It has been indescribable hell on earth for me to witness people go against everything they claim to believe in, everything good and right in service to their love of money and power. I've witnessed envy destroy people whose hearts I thought I knew. I've seen an unhealthy obsession with comfort and safety from countless others. These weaknesses stand between us and what we're up against, which leads me to the video I'm about to release. I'm not suicidal, but I'm also not afraid to die. Now I'm indifferent to the outcome and frankly numb to the consequence of truth-telling. I've adapted to faith over fear. The mission is to discover other people whose principles are not for sale, who will do the right thing rather than talk about doing the right thing. I'm tired of seeing tens of thousands of people sliding into my DMs, complaining to my team about how bad things are, and then they make excuses or do nothing. So here I stand. I can do no other. As has been said, if they're going to kill me, they're going to kill me. Is that a Kerry Lake quote? Let's do this. Let's get 2024 started. Let's inspire others to be brave. Let's raise the stakes. Let's expose them all. In truth, James. So I'm thinking, okay, what is this guy about to do that he hasn't done yet? He's exposed the human trafficking that the Democrats run, the illegal funding of illegal immigration that the Democrats ran right out of the Beto O'Rourke campaign here in Texas. He's had undercovers go into their voter harvesting operations. He's proven voter fraud. The list just goes on and on. And then the new video breaks today. Top White House cyber official tells James O'Keefe in disguise. I can't believe they can't even... It's amazing because you're like, how can James O'Keefe still be doing this? Can't they recognize him? Don't give these leftists, don't give these corrupt bureaucrats more credit than they deserve, I guess is what we learn here. Top White House cyber official tells O'Keefe in disguise. They can't say it publicly. The White House wants to replace Kamala Harris and confirms Joe Biden's mental decline. Biden is definitely slowing down. This is Charlie Krieger, a cybersecurity policy analyst and foreign affairs desk officer in the executive office at the White House. And so now we've had a White House intern talking about all the sex and all the orgies and all the freakiness that goes on. And now you've got a cyber official talking about what the media is trying to cover up, the embarrassment that is Kamala Harris and the mental decline and physical decline of Joe Biden. Here is the latest from James O'Keefe and the O'Keefe Media Group.
So you're pretty high up in the government.
Yeah, I'm fairly high up. I'm good at keeping secrets, and so I manage federal agencies, the State Department, and USAID.
So when you say it's like security, like you're protecting
the networks of the federal agencies that you give all your information to.
The mission is to protect information.
We are like the president's voice when we go into meetings in terms of discussing and promoting the president's priorities.
Is he going to be the nominee?
Yes. And she will be the vice president nominee.
Yeah, I don't...
There was a debate about removing her from the ticket, but sadly they didn't.
She can't keep black stuff. Yeah. They quit on her in men.
But with him,
I know.
He's got dementia.
He's definitely slowing down.
Well, they know that he has those issues.
I think so.
But they're not willing to say it. They're not willing to say it publicly.
And same thing with Kamala Harris. She's not popular, but you can't remove the first black lady to be vice president from the goddamn presidential ticket. Like, what kind of message are you going to send to, like, African-American voters? How would you spin that?
Of course, that's how she got the job. She's the first diversity hire vice president.
Like, she's a woman, and she's multiracial. I think that they're really concerned about that.
But they won't say it. Well, I guess if they say it publicly,
correct.
Biden
can't
is,
publicly.
Is
no.
They can't say it publicly.
No, they've got to
they say
the
it privately? But they won't say publicly.
Correct.
That Biden
can't say
is,
publicly.
Is
no.
They can't say it publicly.
No, they've got to
they say
the
it
line.
Privately?
I'm just telling you what I've heard. Like, yep.
You're just telling me the truth.
Does it make sense? No, but that's what I've heard. I had a meeting with Michelle Obama at one point when I was an intern, and someone asked her, will you ever run for office? And she said no, emphatically.
Really?
I've seen all the shit my husband has had to go through, and that does not interest me. People would be like, well, I don't think we should have to get the vaccine. And I'm like, like, you're not going to get the vaccine, and then you're going to go expose my family
in the hospital.
Like vaccinated COVID.
So you work in cybersecurity for the White House, and my question is, what are you doing on a meeting with James O'Keefe? What type of cybersecurity operation are you guys running over there?
We're running a good cybersecurity operation.
Obviously not.
James O'Keefe.
publicly fighting is
what is this clown show you guys running over at the White House?
Charlie Crager is a cybersecurity policy analyst and foreign affairs desk officer in the executive office of the White House. He manages two federal agencies and for the last 4 years worked at the State Department. He works on the president's priorities, executive orders, is a high-up official, and
it's been sold out for a while. It is pure
expert.
Deep Earth crystal iodine. It's so hard to make. You've got to have DEA-approved labs to do it, and it takes months and months to break it down in this special patented process. Nobody else has true nascent iodine. They put it on the label, but it's still bound to other elements, and it's not fully absorbable by the cells. It's the missing link. Even the UN estimates 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. Up until the 30s, we had major IQ reduction because of lack of iodine in the U.S. food supply, especially in the U.S. Midwest. From the 30s to the early 80s, the government put crappy iodine in the salt by law, and IQs went up 15 points on average. Burnt defects went way down. And then in the early 80s, they took it out again. This is the deep earth crystal pure, meaning atomic, on the atomic table. And it goes into the cells at a cellular level. Survival Shield X2, now available 25% off. InfoWarsStore.com. 5-star review or call toll-free 888-253-3139.
You know, working at InfoWars, you hear a lot of negative things about your place of work. One of the things they like to say about our supplements is we're snake oil salesmen. Well, folks, it ain't snake oil. It's fish oil, and it's incredibly good for you. Ultimate Fish Oil is now on sale, back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. If you only take one supplement, it's likely that's fish oil. It's probably the most popular supplement on Earth at this point for very good reason. People realize how good it is for them, and this is the best stuff on the market. Studies suggest that fish oils and fish oil supplements can slightly lower blood pressure, decrease the growth rate of plaque, and prevent cognitive decline. So whether you're a first-time fish oil shopper or whether you're somebody who has taken fish oil for a while and is looking for the best quality available, go to InfoWarsStore.com today and get Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. It's going to sell out fast because that's what happens when you have fantastic products. Help us fight the global agenda and also improve your health with fish oil. InfoWarsStore.com.
The most powerful InfoWars life formula yet, DNA Force Plus, is now back in stock for 25% off while supplies last. This elite formula contains the most cutting-edge enzymes, potent antioxidants, and traditional naturally occurring ingredients to protect the vitality of your very DNA. The powerhouse ingredients in DNA Force Plus include QQQ, CoQ10, organic reishi mushroom, astragalus root, rhodiola root, and an array of even more incredible antioxidants and extracts carefully chosen to help support healthy heart function while promoting energy production down to the cellular level. Provide your cells and DNA with the protection they need and try a bottle of DNA Force Plus today for 25% off. Or for an additional 10% off, grab the combo pack with DNA Force Plus and Body Soul Support. These offers and so much more are only available at InfoWarsStore.com.
I have been in a 28-year marathon battle with the globalist. I have come from nowhere to the very heights of politics, not just in America, but in the world. We are engaging the globalist at point-blank range in the information war. But I don't deserve the credit. Yes, I persevered, but the listeners and viewers who support InfoWars are the real reason we've had the success. We're having now the greatest victories in the fight against the New World Order we've ever had. We are now entering the final mile of the marathon. And that's why today it's more important than ever to realize how important you've been in this fight and to continue in the efforts you've been carrying out and to intensify them. God bless you all. I salute you. I thank you. And I beg you to intensify what you're doing now because we are over the target and history is happening. The fight is my fight. It's your fight. It's our fight. God bless you all.
InfoWars.com/show.
I met with him undercover on Sunday, January the 21st, with my tour guide wearing fake eyeglasses. Not only did he not recognize me, he sang like a bird. His social media, which was scrubbed after my initial meeting with him, says he likes long walks on the beach and diplomatic negotiations.
That's cute.
Are you familiar with the Kennedy School at all?
Harvard? What about it?
Yes, I'm in the executive education program there.
Really?
Yeah. So I got a job at the State Department.
The State Department?
Like, I essentially started at Georgetown, and I applied at State, and I went to Georgetown for my master's, where I studied when I joined the...
wait a second.
The
is he hitting on James O'Keefe?
Program.
Is that what's going on here?
So when I was there, I focused on, like, cybersecurity and technically cyber intelligence. So, like, the, like, espionage and the spy game, that cyber intelligence...
You really are James Bond, aren't you?
I know. My grandmother likes to be like, he's a spy. And my parents are like, you can't say that. Don't say these.
I'm a spy.
Let me get that wine. I'm having raging flu right now. And so my job is to help oversee like responses to cyber incidents and cybersecurity problems. And so I manage two federal agencies, the State Department and USAID. So I have recurring meetings with them where we talk about goals and we talk about the president's priorities and like how are they coming on certain executive order deliverables and like all of this kind of stuff.
Charlie says he's responsible for protecting the networks of the federal agencies.
So when you say security, like you're protecting...
the networks of the federal agencies. You give all your information to.
That through commerce or...
everyone. Yeah,
so you're protecting the networks.
Yeah, but I'm not like sitting there coding.
Yeah.
I'm meeting with like the senior level decision makers, and we're talking about problems.
You're doing it at a senior level.
So this is probably a LGBTQ plus diversity hire who doesn't seem very good at his job. Wow. Or maybe
that's
I'm
cool.
Wrong.
That's really cool, Mr. James Bond.
Charlie Krager, who works in the executive office of the White House, says he's the president's voice, and his mission is to protect networks, promote the president's priorities, work with the Security Council and other parts of the White House.
We are like the president's voice when we go into meetings in terms of discussing and promoting the president's priorities. And, like,
so you're like the enforcer.
Kind of, yeah. And the State Department people are more difficult, high maintenance.
Why is that?
They call me demanding.
Why are they more high maintenance than the State Department?
Because the State Department has a big ego. So tell me about you. You went to Rutgers.
Yeah, I went to Rutgers.
And what did you major in?
Well, I majored in journalism. And I designed brochures and pamphlets. I'm very good at that. I'm probably one of the best there is. And I'm also very good at sales.
Why do you think you're one of the best?
It's 20 years of experience.
Oh, okay.
But what I do is not as interesting as what you do.
That's okay.
What you do is a movie, I guess, or something.
Charlie Krager, who works in the executive office of the White House, makes his politics crystal clear.
And I, like, had several dates where people would be like, well, I don't think we should have to get the vaccine. And I'm like, you're not going to get the vaccine, and then you're going to go expose my family.
Unvaccinated
COVID. Like, fuck you.
Charlie Krager, who works in the executive office of the White House,
is that a little naked selfie he did there?
Talking about President Joe Biden.
That's cute.
I told him I love everything that Joe Biden does, but asked Charlie about Biden's mental fitness.
I love everything that Biden is doing. I love his policies. I just witnessing it. Just looks, it's a bad look. I mean, he can't, struggles to talk.
Yeah. He's no Barack Obama.
Is he going to be the nominee?
Yes. And she will be the vice president nominee.
Yeah, I don't.
There was a debate about removing her from the ticket, but sadly they didn't.
I agree with everything Biden is doing. It's just his cognitive ability. Like, I have a grandfather who has. 91.
Okay.
And Joe Biden is worse than my grandmother. He has dementia.
Yeah.
You know, he's walking like this, and he's sort of like, you know, and I think that voters are going to look at that, and it's going to hurt us. I think that independents are going to look at that, and they're going to be like, I can't deal with that. But with him,
I know.
He's got dementia.
Yeah, well, I don't think he has that clinically yet.
No, yeah.
But he's definitely slowing down.
Question is, all the people, like your colleagues or the White House or whatever, do they get it? Do they know that?
I think that they probably do, but no one in modern history has ever said, like, we're not going to renominate the president for a second term. That just hasn't happened.
Like, they know that he has those issues.
I think so.
They're not willing to say it.
They're
not willing to say it publicly.
And same thing with Kamala Harris. She's not popular, but you can't remove the first black lady to be vice president from the goddamn presidential ticket. Like, what kind of message are you going to send to, like, African American voters?
So that's the reason why they won't remove her.
That's what I think. How would you spin that? People would be like, what the f-? Like, she's a woman, and she's multiracial, and she's like...
But she's not popular.
Charlie says he's seen, in the executive office of the White House, people talking about how Kamala Harris hemorrhages black staff.
Kamala is so unpopular, the New York Times did an article about how she hemorrhages black staff. She can't keep black staff. They quit on her in mass.
She hemorrhages black.
Want to work with Kamala? But
yeah, there's a New York Times article about it.
She went and, like, people sent her out of the office,
and everyone was like, oh,
why don't
shit.
They like her?
Then the subject came up about replacing Kamala Harris and Joe Biden.
I think they need to get rid of him or get rid of her.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're going to do that.
Then Charlie Krager, who works in the executive office of the White House, says he's heard his colleagues say they can't tell the truth to the American people about what's really going on. But they do say it behind closed doors at the White House.
I think that they're really concerned about it.
But they won't say it. Well, I guess if they say it publicly,
correct.
Biden
can't
is...
Publicly.
Is
no.
They can't say it publicly.
No, they've got to
they say
the
it
line.
Privately?
Toe that line.
So they know it.
Better toe that line.
Of course they do. But
yeah.
It's the optics and, like, the scandal, I think they feel wouldn't be worth it. I'm just telling you what I've heard. Like,
you're just telling me the truth.
Does it make sense? No, but that's what I've heard.
Charlie Krager says he's
he's
heard
Democrat.
In
not
the
supposed.
Executive office.
Unless you want to destroy it.
I had a meeting with Michelle Obama at one point when I was an intern, and someone asked her, will you ever run for office? And she said no, emphatically.
Really?
She said, I will never run for office. It doesn't interest me. I've seen how, like, she said a lot more eloquently, of course, than I'm going to say it, but she was like, I've seen all this
course,
that my husband has had to go through, and that does not interest me.
I asked Charlie Krager, who works in the executive office of the White House, how is it that a security official in the White House doesn't know he's on a meeting with James O'Keefe and would divulge such secret information to James O'Keefe?
So you work in cybersecurity for the White House, and my question is, what are you doing on a meeting with James O'Keefe? And how do you think it looks to the American people that working in the Office of Cybersecurity, you're sitting across the table with James O'Keefe?
Okay.
Founder of Project Veritas.
Oh, I've heard of it.
Yeah. We do undercover investigations into people. What does it look like to the American people that the cybersecurity specialist at the White House is sitting across from the founder of Project Veritas? What type of cybersecurity operation are you guys running over there?
Very
inclusive.
Well, obviously not.
Very diverse.
With me. Did you not do your
very
research?
Hot.
What is this clown show you guys running over to?
Tune in tomorrow for the full reaction of Charlie Krager.
I will be tuned in.
What we have learned in OMG's undercover investigations into D.C. so far is that we have more problems in this country than the White House is willing to admit.
And the media covers up.
Our source, Charlie Krager, told us exactly what he has seen and heard that only a rare few have access to. With a vice president who causes hemorrhages within black staff, a president who has not yet been assessed for dementia, but people continue to talk about his ability to lead behind closed doors, and apparently Michelle Obama, who is not coming to the rescue, according to Charlie Krager. We are going to be keeping a watchful eye during the election season and would like for you to step forward and volunteer, get active, and get involved at OMG.
So, okay, so much to unpack. James should have a closet full of journalistic awards and Pulitzer Prizes, but when you actually fight corruption and do real journalism, that's they snub you from that. When you're a nice regime hack and a liar in the media, that's when you get the closet full of awards. But, you know, by the way, to one Charlie Krager here talking about how great the vaccine is, yeah, not really. Nearly half the deaths observed in the United States households judged to be due to the COVID vaccine. This is from Steve Kirsch, and he talks to data and market research experts, and their conclusion is that half the deaths in American households were in some way, shape, or form tied into the vaccine. But something tells me he likes to be penetrated. But that's another story.
It's been sold out for a while. It is pure deep earth crystal iodine. It's so hard to make. You've got to have DEA approved labs to do it. And it takes months and months to break it down in this special patented process. Nobody else has true nascent iodine. They put it on the label, but it's still bound to other elements. And it's not fully absorbable by the cells. It's the missing link. Even the UN estimates 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. Up until the 30s, we had major IQ reduction because of lack of iodine in the U.S. food supply, especially in the U.S. Midwest. From the 30s to the early 80s, the government put crappy iodine in the salt by law. And IQs went up 15 points on average. Burnt defects went way down. And then in the early 80s, they took it out again. This is the deep earth crystal pure, meaning atomic, on the atomic table. And it goes into the cells at a cellular level. Survival Shield X2, now available 25% off. InfoWarsStore.com. 5-star review. Or call toll-free 888-253-3139. A lot of listeners have complained in the last 2 years that our amazing high-quality coffee has not been available. And that's because the prices went up too high for the raw beans and the quality had gone down some. I turned down so many companies that wanted to work with us. But now, we have brought back the coffee, and it's even better from a national supplier that's veteran-owned and veteran-operated. It's powered by the company Minuteman Coffee. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the best-tasting, best-smelling, strongest coffee that I have ever drank. It is game-changing. All you got to do is buy a bag of it and try it. I know you're going to be hooked, which will then fund your Operation A360 win. Go to InfoWarsStore.com right now for Escape the Prison Planet Light Roast. That's the strongest. The amazing Medium Roast Wake Up America. And finally, the best-tasting Dark Roast Tip of the Spear, now exclusively available at InfoWarsStore.com. Get your coffee now.
Infowars.com/show.